Australia for the Olympics.
Wow.
Good morning, it's O'Brien.
Is this Pat O'Brien?
Yes, it is.
Hey, put Rudy back on.
I got nothing to say to Pat O'Brien.
I've
got to
ask, why after working out was Pat O'Brien coming to your hotel room at 8 o'clock in the morning?
You get a little lonely.
Okay, there you go, thank you.
All right, well, listen, Rudy, I know that you have a morning full of Olympic events and fellatio and writing columns and fellatio.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what is it? Yeah.
Yeah, this is a husband back in Wichita.
The husband of what?
The husband and the boyfriend.
The husband and the boyfriend.
Wife, boyfriend.
Now, what I'd like you to do is start a sentence and maybe complete it, and then we might understand what you're talking about.
Okay. This is the husband back in Wichita with a wife's got a boyfriend.
Okay, if you say so, I'm with you.
I don't think that was a full sentence. I'm sure it was.
I'm with you, though. Well, what can we do for you?
We was here. You know, we talked once about the wife and had a boyfriend. He thought for sure that she was boinking.
Charlie, can you enlighten us? Who is this man?
I remember. This guy.
We're the gardeners.
Yeah, hold on. I know that.
Oh. Hold on. Let Charlie tell us who you are.
You've had him on a number of times in the past. His wife has a boyfriend, and they sit around on the front porch and whittle.
I remember you.
Oh, okay.
Too.
All right.
Okay, I remember you. Right.
We can't wait till you get back here to Wichita, because we're really going to F with you on your set this Friday night.
You're really going to what?
You're going to F with us?
We're going to F with you guys. Hopefully we can get you guys going.
How are you going to F with us?
Well, it's a shame we can't have total nudity out there, but...
Oh, you mean, so when you say F with us, you mean it only in the best possible way?
You got it, because we're going to have one heck of a party.
I like that attitude.
Now, this is the guy, as I recall... Your wife has a boyfriend who she's banging, and you don't mind.
No, you're not.
You go to bed at night.
Doesn't he sneak in the window? Does he come out of the cornfield or something?
This guy goes to bed at 9 o'clock at night, and the other guy comes over under the guise of watching television with this guy's wife.
Well, there's new news.
What?
He's got a girlfriend. We finally got him a girlfriend.
I think I'm getting a picture as to why he turns in early, if you know what I mean.
Glug, glug, glug.
Yeah, I think the lights just go out.
All right, so we will see you on March 17th in Wichita.
How will we know you, sir?
We will be there.
Can we get a physical description? How will we know you?
How well?
How will we know you?
Well, I'll introduce myself as a husband and my wife.
I'd like a physical description. Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Well, let me think. How about a dirty old sheetrocker?
A dirty old sheetrocker. I see you hang a little drywall, but what do you look like specifically? I mean, are you tall, thin? You know, what do you look like?
What do you look like? Somebody in the Marshall Tucker band?
5'11", 5'10".
5'11", 5'10".
I'm guessing anybody in Leonard Skinner.
200 pounds.
This guy looks like.
200 pounds?
All right, maybe one of the Allman Brothers.
5'10". 5'10", 200 pounds.
Yeah.
So you're not a small
dirty
guy.
Dirty blonde.
All right, blonde.
Now I'm thinking maybe Greg Allman.
How long is your hair?
It'll be short by that night. I gotta get a haircut tonight.
How long is it now?
Collar length.
Collar length.
It's true. That's not long.
He's wearing a collar, though. It's like around his waistband.
You shut up, boyfriend. My boyfriend just had beer belly. Well, that's out. Don't we all?
Was that moment? Click, click, click. What was that?
Who's your boyfriend?
I'm down at the boyfriend's house.
I thought your wife didn't have a boyfriend.
Well, we're still friends. Like I said, he's not boinking her.
We're just still friends.
I'm positive he's banging her. He's banging her hard.
Is he there with you right now? Is he there with you right now?
He's in the kitchen listening. I'm outside in the patio.
In the patio.
Some night, why don't you smell his fingers?
What?
Some night, why don't you smell his fingers?
No, I probably smell his girlfriend from last night. I wouldn't want to smell her.
Oh, really? I bet you,
What?
I bet you get a smell that you've smelled before.
Not hers, no.
So you're just
not his girlfriend's, no. Never smelled.
No,
it's very difficult because every time I try, the brain on the other end of the phone is working so slowly at this point that it's tough to get any kind of rhythm going.
I would bet that if you smelled his fingers, you would probably smell your wife. You would recognize that smell.
Not.
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 You took all that time to explain it to him.
Touche.
Touche.
Well said. And too, Brute.
That's great.
Hey, we'll see you guys Friday night, 13th of March.
Don, I got to tell you, as somebody who occasionally has a cocktail, I will tell you, it just amazes me how early America's drinking lately.
Well, early. It's happy hour here in Wichita.
Happy hour, yeah, but I mean, you're well on your way, aren't you?
Nope, got to get ready to go bowling, Alan. I got to get cleaned up and go to the bowling, Alan.
Now, are you drunk or are you retarded? It's one or the other.
No.
Yes.
I'm just happy to be talking with you guys. I can't wait to see you guys.
Have you been drinking, sir?
I've had two cans of beer.
Two cans of beer.
Then you must be retarded.
No, because I have to get ready to go to the bowling alley.
Now, listen, retarded people enjoy bowling.
You're not driving to the bowling alley, are you? Is your wife driving you?
No, my chauffeur, my wife's taking us.
Uh-huh. Are you going with the boyfriend?
Yeah, he's coming, too.
He's coming. Good. Three of you will be going bowling tonight.
All three of us. No, two of us. Me and the boyfriend, maybe.
You'll all be putting your fingers in the little holes.
Oh, dear.
Renting
well,
the shoes.
Yeah. We bowled last night on a hard team.
Hey, you know,
I got a substitute tonight. I just had to call him in to substitute.
Buzz, he said renting shoes. I bet they own their own shoes. Do you own your own shoes?
I got three balls and all my shoes.
Yeah, yeah, good. That's a relief, really. Yeah.
Three balls and all his shoes.
That's right. Three balls. Wow. Right on. All right, my friend.
Guys, I got to go. I got to be there at 6 o'clock.
I know.
I got to go take a bath.
I know. It's Tuesday night.
Take a bath.
I can't go looking like an old dirty sheet rocker, can I?
Sure. That's right.
Right. It's retarded night at the bowling alley.
Is the tub out in the yard?
Is what?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Retard night.
Hey, you guys have fun.
Tard's bowl half price.
I have a six tonight. I'll have a 600 series.
Bowl of frame, have a beer. Bowl of frame, have a beer. Bowl of frame, have a beer.
No, I don't do that at Bowling Alley.
At Bowling Alley?
No.
You don't do that at Honorable Bowling Alley.
What do you do at Bowling Alley?
I bowl.
Do they serve beer at the bowling alley? Of course.
Oh, yeah. You get anything you want, but I just bowl.
Get anything you want there.
Sure. Really, what else can you get besides beer?
What do you want?
Well, just name it. You said you can get anything.
Cocktails, anything you want, man.
Can you get, like, a hooker at the bowling alley?
Can you get laid at the bowling alley?
No, don't get laid.
Well, see, don't you think he was overstating it, saying you could get anything at the bowling alley?
You get relaxation and good exercise.
What type of cuisine are they serving at your bowling alley? Besides the standard Hamburg hot dog fare.
Well, this one, Rose Bowl West, they serve a great chicken strip dinner.
A chicken strip dinner.
What is a chicken? Do you mean chicken shrimp?
Chicken strip dinner.
Do they serve
chicken fried?
Can you get duck?
Get stuck.
If you're what?
Stuck.
If you're stuck.
You can get
a chicken strip dinner.
Imagine that.
Strip dinner.
So is that like strips of, is that the tenderloin of the breast?
The breast of the chicken, yes.
What is the brand of beer that you've guzzled thus far today?
Excellent question.
Millenniums.
Pardon me?
Millennium.
Millennium?
I never heard of that. Who makes Millennium beer?
Budweiser. It's on every one of their cans, the Millennium.
Millennium.
What is that, some kind of marketing ploy for the Millennium? What is the name of...
We call them Millenniums because, you know, how many Millenniums have you had tonight? You know, cause
okay, so they're Budweiser.
Millennium on the can.
Okay, so it's Budweiser.
It's Millennium, yeah, but we call it Millennium. How many Millenniums you know?
Right. I tell you, I'm looking forward to meeting this guy.
He's good people.
What's the best dessert item you can get at the bowling alley? Dear, there's some dessert right there. There's some creme brulee for everybody.
Did you guys get the choke button on that one?
The choke button.
That was some of Don's best.
Yeah, right. Thank you, my friend.
That's just filled with a little phlegm and a little sheetrock dust.
Thank God that those machines keep score for you. I mean that.
Oh, well, I haven't kept score in years. I'll get the computer stuff.
I mean,
with all the computer stuff, I don't even mess with score anymore. I don't even have a mess with one of those.
They have a clean restroom at this bowling alley?
Actually, it's not the best in the world.
And you maintain you are not retarded?
No.
Have you ever been hospitalized?
No.
What is 9 times 9?
81.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah, some retards are good at math.
You have to count that shit.
Well, sheet rockers are very good at math.
How many Lynyrd Skynyrd songs can you name?
I'd I'd have to listen to them and get back in the group.
What is your favorite band?
Kenny Brown Band. We're in Wichita, Kansas.
No, no. Who was your favorite band we would have heard of?
What? My phone kind of cut out. What was that again?
What is the favorite band we would have heard of?
Favorite band?
You know, is it any wonder that your wife is banging this other guy?
I'm trying to think of my favorite group. Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd?
How many Pink Floyd songs can you name?
How many what?
How many Pink Floyd songs can you name?
As soon as the questions got a little more difficult, you developed a problem with your hearing.
Well, my phone cut out every time.
No, right. No, it didn't.
How many can you name?
Oh, I know the albums.
How many Pink Floyd songs can you name?
I can name the last album. It was Final Cut. I don't get to listen to the albums anymore because I don't have the CDs. I just got out.
Here's a tough question for you. You may not even be able to answer it, but in your opinion, who's the greatest man in American history?
The greatest man?
In American history. Take your time.
In American history?
In American history. In the history of
the
United
States. The man's got to be dead by now, right?
Alive or dead, it doesn't matter. In the history of the United
States. John Geronimo's the greatest guy I know of.
No, thank you. Not regarding the show. In the history of America.
Let him answer honestly, Mike. No, I agree. Come on, this show notwithstanding.
Okay.
Who's the greatest American of all time?
In your opinion.
In my opinion?
Yes.
This is not a test. In your opinion, who?
It's not a test. We're just asking you who you think.
I'd say, a lot of Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd. The greatest man in America is Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd.
Who is?
my wife's boyfriend just brought me down. I had an album from Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd, man, the great American history, man.
That's cheating. I couldn't do that to you guys.
No, Sheetrock, Pink Floyd.
Who is the greatest movie actress of our time?
Good question.
Oh, the greatest movie?
Movie actress of our time.
And I'm going to make a request here that you stop answering questions with questions.
That's a question.
Right.
Who is the greatest movie actress of our time?
Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe.
And who is the greatest movie actor of our time?
You know, you guys are keeping me from getting my ass cleaned up and going to the bowling alley.
Come on now, as soon as you answer these questions, we'll let you go.
What was that other question again?
Who is the greatest movie actor of our time?
Actor? Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, huh? Fantastic.
How many presidents can you name backwards, starting with Bill Clinton?
Oh, Bill Clinton, George Bush, Ronald Reagan, Gerald Ford, wasn't it? And then it was,
That's great. That's better than I would have ever dreamed he would have gotten. That's,
you know,
further.
That's part of an Alzheimer's test.
And then Nixon followed London Baines, and then he went to
London Baines is falling down.
I'm amazed. I'm going to give you applause on the president.
Good job.
I think that's fantastic.
I want to tell you that this is all part of his Alzheimer's quiz.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. That there's a real book. I'm going to buy it for you, as a matter of fact.
Oh, good. I look forward to that.
There is a book that has all these self-quizzes for Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you're supposed to, 3 or 4 times a day, try to count back and see how far back you can go with presidents.
That's good.
Here's another test for you. Starting with
I'm walking home, guys, and I'm going to have to get in the bathroom.
Okay, hold on. Starting with the number 100.
Get in the tub. Are you on a cordless phone?
I'm on my cell phone.
You're on your cell phone. Take the cell phone into the tub.
Starting with the number 100, take away 7 and keep going. For instance, I'll give you the first answer. 93.
93.
Okay, keep going.
I couldn't do that.
92, 91, 90, 80.
No. Take away 7 from 93. What do you get?
93,
7
from 93.
See, I'd be terrible at that.
Wait a minute. 84.
Take away 7.
Take away 4.
He was wrong about
that. 71.
Yeah, you're scaring me now because I couldn't compete with anybody in this.
That's an Alzheimer's test.
Well, then I'm seriously, I'm going to start walking down the main street here outside the studio with my boxers on.
You take away 7, but he got it wrong anyway.
Right.
Well, 73 or 60.
What is the greatest, before we let you go, in your opinion, what is the greatest invention of the 20th century?
The 20th century?
Yes.
What is the greatest invention of the last 100 years?
Well, probably the telephone.
The telephone.
And can you tell us why?
I'm on it now, talking to you guys, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
The cell phone, man, that's where it's at.
And here's a good one for you. What's the greatest thing about being an American, in your words?
The best thing?
You don't answer a question
I
with
know,
a question.
I know. Well, I'm trying to play with my dog at the same time.
Yeah, don't play dog. You know, come on, I'll fight over. Quick.
What is the greatest thing about being an American?
Living in America.
Living in America.
Okay. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Being able to get bombed every day.
No.
Oh, yes. And then going to retard night at the bowling alley.
Don't drown in the tub.
I'm not. Hell, I got 40 minutes to get there.
Goodbye.
Hey, guys, we'll see you March 17th.
Looking forward to it.
Look forward to it.
I can't wait.
Bye-bye.
And there he goes.
Yeah, March 17th, St. Patty's Day. He'll be drinking soft drinks that day.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. Hey, this is Ray from Athens, Georgia.
Yes, Ray.
I'm a first-time caller. I'm calling for a request to see if you guys could put out a request to all the ladies to call in to stir the soup and talk about doing it in the no-no spot.
Doing it in the no-no spot.
Listen,
Ray, we would welcome any girl who stirs the soup, but the no-no spot is an exit, not an entrance.
Okay, I'll take it either way you can get it. And another thing, I just started listening to you guys about 2 months ago.
Wait, when are you going bowling tonight?
No, I'm not going. And it's 100 miles one way from me, from my office to my home, and you guys get me home every evening. I listen to you religiously, so thanks, and keep it up.
That's right. 100 miles
from the swamp to the city.
Thank you,
my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye. Not your buddy. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Sure is far from the swamp to the city.
Last call. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don.
Yes.
Earlier you said you know your Clint Eastwood movies.
I consider myself an expert at it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tim Spiewak, Rob's brother.
Here we go. Now, this is a guy who obviously has a book, who has done some research, mm-hmm. is going to put me in my place. Go ahead.
Tim Spiewak.
I remember this from seeing the film originally. Did you know one of his films he uses the word cunny?
Yes, Tim.
Clint Eastwood does? I have no idea what movie. What movie does he use the word cunny in?
The Unforgiven.
And he certainly doesn't use it in the way that we use it, does he?
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding?
No. You'll recall early in the movie, there's a lady of the evening who's assaulted with a knife.
Yeah, yes, nasty. She gets slashed in the face.
He's describing that incident to someone else, and he uses that word in the same way that you guys do.
Are you kidding? He says, oh. That cunny?
Yeah.
Robbie, rent Unforgiven for me. You got to rent that movie. Here I was thinking you're a ball buster.
No.
Oh, you're a godsend. Thank you, Rick. Of course
okay,
he is.
You're welcome.
He's Tim Spiewak.
Thank you.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Hi, this is Travis from Wichita. How you guys doing today?
Hi, Travis.
Just wanted to call and tell you that not everybody from Wichita is dumb and that last guy was on here.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah, Travis, but all you've done is serve to prove the point further.
All right.
Come on, Travis.
Travis.
What's that?
Travis, you're proving it more and more. You know,
I'm sorry. I'm looking forward to you guys coming on the 17th.
Right. We are too, Travis.
Travis,
all right.
Do you bowl at that alley?
No, sir.
Okay, Travis. Listen, all Travis, right. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's just a fun radio show. We just have a lot of fun. You know, we know that that gentleman is not representing Wichita. We know you're not either.
Thank you very much.
Thank God.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I took care of them. I'm slamming Wichita, but dumb people don't take
Mike.
I am representing Wichita. Woo!
Okay. Johnny.
We're going to be there St. Patrick's Day.
Johnny, yes, buddy. Johnny.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah.
Were you nuts? Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, John.
Hey, man, I've been listening to y'all for like 12 years, ever since I moved to Virginia.
Yeah.
And as often as I can listen to y'all, I listen to y'all. I drive a truck now, but originally I was doing car everything up north. And I tell you what, y'all are just awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Johnny.
I'm serious.
Thank you, my friend.
You the man, John.
Very nice. All right.
Okay.
Well, y'all take it easy.
Bye-bye. I get the feeling I talk to this guy like talking to my brother.
A little.
Hey, hold on. I drive truck, too, now.
Is your hair long?
No, sir.
I tell you, the worst thing I ever did was I got my brother a computer.
Mm-hmm.
My brother had no idea about the internet, so
right.
I got him a computer. I got him hooked up with free internet service, and I got, like, an email account with Hotmail.
Cool.
And now I'm getting emails from my brother every day. I've got to print some of these out and bring them in, because it seriously looks like someone is at the keypad and they're just closing their eyes.
Somebody's left their bird on the keypad.
And I mean, I kind of can make out what the words are.
Right.
Like please is spelled P E E ALF.
They probably type it in the truck, bouncing, boom, 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 boom.
No, I don't. I mean, I got him a home computer.
Tough to put those home computers in your truck.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
A lot of companies got those, though.
All right, thank you, John.
All right. So you want me to hang up?
Yes, please.
Oh, man, I'm waiting for 10 years to get a hold of y'all on the phone.
Goodbye now.
All right, well, y'all take it easy.
Thank you, Johnny.
Bye. Come on now. There's a carton of Winston's with your name on it.
Bye-bye. Winston's now. It's Marlboro Reds now.
There you go.
Right, Marlboro Reds. Trying to quit them, but hey, it's tough.
All right. A little too much bio. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right.
Christ. Little segment we call the Heart of America.
Okay.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Some decisions are just too important to be made without fear.
Like corn. Enjoy it a second time. Second time. The bed of Don and Mike.
Regis Philbin's son.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was mentioned in the article?
Yes.
The one of the legs?
Right.
He's on the phone right now.
Okay, very good.
Hello, Danny. Danny, go ahead. Danny, go
ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. We will return to our regularly scheduled program momentarily. Please stay tuned. Expect to resume normal broadcasting shortly.
Regis Philbin's son.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was mentioned in the article?
Yes.
The one of the legs?
Right.
He's on the phone right now.
Okay, very good.
Hello, Danny.
Danny, go ahead.
Danny Philbin.
Danny, are you there?
Hello?
I guess he hung up.
Well, let me go back and try it again.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Danny doesn't seem to be hearing us.
He's gone.
Okay. Well, if you're out there, call us back.
Yeah. Is Danny's middle name Gavin?
Hello?
There he is.
There he is.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, that's what it was. We were saying Danny.
Yeah, he didn't get it.
He didn't get it. Here is...
Hi, Danny.
Here is Regis.
Hello. Hello. It's the robot.
This is Regis Philbin's son, Danny.
Danny, can you...
Hello. What are you doing? This is Regis Philbin. How are you doing?
A birth defect left Danny with useless malformed legs, which are amputated.
What are you all doing out there? This is Regis Philbin from the show. How are you doing, Daddy Mike?
Danny, can you roar like a lion? You're a monster.
Of course, everybody. Listen, it's time to let the cat out of the bag. This is really... Tom Gavin the Monster. Tom the Monster.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Tom. This is not, in fact, Regis Philbin's son. This is Tom Gavin.
I really thought it was Regis's son.
Tom the Monster.
How you guys doing?
Well, the important thing is, how are you doing, Tom?
Good. I'm doing fine.
Good. Hey, Tom, how would you like to take a sex quiz?
Good. Go ahead. Do it.
All right. Tomorrow we're going to be giving the sex quiz. Did you know that we have now three girls working on the show? We have, of course... Toya.
Yes.
Toya.
We also have Beth.
Yes.
Beth. Right. Yeah, the redhead.
The fiery redhead.
Right.
And Lisa.
Lisa.
And tomorrow, both Beth and Lisa will be taking sex quizzes on the show.
So very good.
I'll come in and...
No.
That's okay.
No, you're not coming in, Tom.
I'll do it on the phone.
All right. Here is the Tom Gavin sex quiz. Tom, have you ever had sex while menstruating?
No.
Tom, have you ever had a gay experience?
No.
Have you ever made love in your parents' home?
No.
Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
No.
Have you ever J-O'd in front of others?
At the Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
No, you didn't.
No,
you didn't.
No, you didn't, Tom.
You never have done that.
No.
Right. No.
Okay, God.
Do you know what I mean when I said J-O?
What's that?
Do you know what it means when I said, have you J-O'd in front of others?
Do you know what the term J-O means?
What does that mean, Mike? What does that mean?
You don't know what it means, Tom?
No.
The initials J-O?
Oh, job.
No.
No?
Yeah.
Hold on. It means, I'll tell him. No, I'll tell him. It means, can we say, you know, with J-O, we can...
Yeah,
it means to masturbate, Tom.
Yeah, masturbating to other people, no.
Okay. Have you ever had sex with more than one partner?
No.
Have you ever had sex in a public place?
No.
Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
No.
Have you ever had sex in the no-no spot?
No.
And what is your total number of sexual partners?
None.
You've never had sex?
Nope.
This would be, I believe, the first perfect score we've received.
Yes. Bravo, Tom.
Am I not wrong? Didn't he? All no's?
All no's. Nine of them. You're a saint, Tom.
Yep.
And a zero.
Hi, Tommy.
All how no. You doing?
And a zero.
Yeah. Have you ever J-O'd at all, Tom?
No.
You've never J-O'd?
No.
You must have.
No, I haven't.
Can you?
What?
Can you?
What's that? I mean...
Can you J-O?
No.
Why?
Because...
Oh, dear.
Why?
Oh, I'm scared.
Why can't you J-O?
I'm scared.
Blank, it's too fat. I can't get to it.
What's too fat?
My...
Now, Tom, I had to delete that out. Tom, you can't use that word.
Oh.
You have to use the medical term for it.
Your thing.
Your thing.
All right, now, using the new term, say it again so everybody can hear it. Why can't you masturbate?
Because it's too big and too small.
It's too big and too small.
Boink.
Did you say boink?
Blank.
Blank?
Yeah.
Match game. I'm confused.
You're playing the match game.
So you're unable to physically?
Yeah.
How can it be too big and too small, Tom?
Because I can't reach it.
Oh, you can't reach it.
I see.
Oh, because your stomach's too big.
Yeah, like everybody else's.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get that, Tom.
But you can't reach it, so you don't do it.
Yeah.
Have you ever had an orgasm?
Yes, I have.
How did you manage that?
Someone did it for me.
Oh, okay.
So somebody J-O'd you.
Yeah.
Who was that?
One of my old girlfriends.
One of your old girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Good. So you have had a sexual experience.
Yeah.
What a mess that must have been.
Yeah, it was a mess.
I can only imagine, Tom. A mess of gargantuan proportions.
This has been fascinating talking about your activities, Tom.
Tom, have you ever had intercourse?
No.
No, the answer to that was no?
No.
Would you like to have intercourse someday?
Yeah.
How old are you, Tom?
40.
40.
So you'd like to?
Yes.
Would you like us to maybe send you out to the Mustang Ranch? Of course, the Mustang Ranch isn't in existence anymore.
Out of business.
Oh, the Mustang Ranch out of business?
Yeah.
Yes. How do you spell Mustang?
M-A-S-T-I-N-G.
Perfect. This Mustang.
This woman who did this for you?
What?
This woman who did this thing for you? How long ago did that event happen?
Last year down in Springfield.
Last year in Springfield. Well, that was very nice of her. Would she ever do it again for you?
No, she's gone and got married.
She got married. Mm. She must be a lovely lady.
How did you get her to do that for you?
I met her down at Springfield Mall, and she took me back to her house.
And did that for you?
Yep.
Did you ask for that, or did she just do that on her own?
She just did it on her own.
Really?
Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Did you want her to do it again?
No.
Why?
He doesn't understand.
Why?
Of course he wanted her to do it again.
Because she's married.
Well, she's married now, yes, but I mean right after she did it, Tom.
Didn't you want her to do it again?
Yeah.
And did she ever do it again, or was it just that one time?
Just that one time.
Did you have to pay her?
What?
Did you have to pay her?
Nope.
And was that the first time ever?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Did she wear gloves?
No.
Did she wear, like, baseball gloves?
No.
Raincoat? What, did she have her clothes on?
No.
Really? What did she have on?
Nothing.
Wow.
Really?
Were you naked?
Yeah.
Oh.
Fascinating. Were you in your chair?
No. I was in the bed.
You were in the bed?
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Who's the celebrity that this lucky lady most resembles, Tom?
Mary Tyler Moore.
Wow.
Very lucky man.
Hey, way to go. That's a good quick answer. And hey, kudos to Tom Gavin for that quick answer. I would that most of our contestants would come up with a celebrity resemble that.
Would that be Mary Tyler Moore as she looks today?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Beautiful. Thank you.
We have our answer.
Tom, thank you.
We're walking
How
on
air.
How's
your cold on, Don? I heard you needed some...
Claritin.
Claritin. It's for allergies. And Tom,
allergies.
You're doing much better.
Did you get it?
Oh, I got it. It works fantastic. I love Claritin.
You know, I got stuff here if you want some.
No, that's okay, Tom. You keep it for yourself.
How's everybody doing? When is the next Las Vegas style show?
On May 3rd
at your house.
Yeah, wait a minute.
May 3rd.
Watch it.
Watch it. May 3rd.
Watch, but
watch it.
But before we let you go, you have to roar like a big bad monster.
All right, thank you, Danny Philbin.
Bye, Danny.
Oh, there he's gone. That's it, he's gone.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm glad you enjoyed them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
Don and Mike are back, live in studio, tomorrow. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
All right, now, we're going to have this guy on. He's online now.
Yeah.
The guy that wrote this book about Andy Kaufman.
Yes.
I'll tell you why I'm fascinated with this guy before we bring him on.
All right.
This is the guy, I got the advanced copy of the book.
Right.
2 months ago, because I'm such an Andy Kaufman freak.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was awful that the book company would send me a book, an advanced copy.
Right.
And then along with it came a note that said, you cannot say anything about this book on the radio.
Because there's some stuff in there that it has never been revealed. Isn't there some stuff in there about the movie also?
Yes. The book is written by Bob Zemuda.
And then they were waiting to release the book, in the same...
In conjunction with the
right.
movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was Tony Clifton. I mean, Andy Kaufman started out being Tony Clifton.
Right. And then he put all the makeup on and became Tony Clifton.
Right. You know, it's so goddamn confusing.
Well, he was the most bizarre comedian of our generation.
He was trying to describe what the bit was.
Right.
The bit was that Andy Kaufman would dress up as Tony Clifton, this lounge singer.
Right.
And then after a while, because Andy Kaufman liked playing jokes on people,
he'd send another guy out there.
He would dress this guy up, and people would book this guy on the shows, thinking that they were getting Andy Kaufman pretending to be Tony Clifton, when actually they were getting Bob Zemuda pretending to be Andy Kaufman, pretending to be Tony Clifton.
Pretty weird stuff.
Right? Fantastic.
And didn't he just go out as him sometimes, too?
Fantastic, yeah. And there's all kinds of pictures in the book, and there's stories about...
Like, can I see a picture of Tony Clifton, of the yeah. makeup? Wasn't it all big puffy, like super
yeah.
puffy makeup?
Hold on, here he is right here. There he is with Miss Piggy.
Right, right, the lounge singer.
And Tony Clifton was a real jerk, too.
Oh, yeah. Right, oh, yeah. He was a total a-hole.
But Tony Clifton wasn't the same persona of the guy that was on Taxi, was he?
No, that was Lodka Gravis.
But Lodka, no, I'm talking about, but Vic, wasn't there a Vic somebody yes. where it was
No, that's not the same guy. Not the same
Vic
guy.
Vic Ferrari, and it was
Vic
different.
Ferrari was hey, how are you?
All right, here is a picture of this guy.
Tony, all right.
Of Bob, on with Letterman, as Tony Clifton. Letterman thinks that's Andy Kaufman.
Right.
Wow.
When really, the goof is on Letterman the whole time.
And Andy Kaufman's like probably in California.
He's at home having a bottle of wine, watching right. his laughing his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, in the book,
it's pretty incredible.
He writes all this stuff about when Andy Kaufman went on the Letterman show and,
right.
and the wrestler attacked him
uh-huh.
and they had that big fight.
It's all prearranged.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's like Andy Kaufman had a... His goal was really just to make everything one giant practical joke.
I'll tell you, the guy was the funniest. The guy was the greatest. Think
he
about
was.
On how many levels Andy Kaufman
right.
was goofing with people.
And also think about how really easy it was to do when you really get right down to it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, when you get right down to it, it was actually very easy for him to do that.
All right, well, let me see if Bob is online, because I also want to ask him questions about Andy Kaufman wrestling women.
Very good,
remember,
right?
For a while, Andy really loved doing that.
Oh, and he really did it. He did it with with a great deal of vigor, and he'd have real attitude when he'd wrestle.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Zemuda.
Yeah.
His book is called...
Thank you.
Andy Kaufman Revealed, Best Friend Tells All. Great, great book, Andy Kaufman Revealed.
I got to ask you one question right out of the chute here.
Cool.
Is he still alive?
Well,
you know,
I gotta ask it though.
Well, you know, I laugh and we joke and everything, but certainly because of the movie and whatnot, that controversy will start, and I want to put an end to it right now, so we don't go through the same thing that the Kaufman that the Presley estate has gone to. Here, no, I believe Andy Kaufman's dead. Here's what happened. That's just odd occurrence, if you ask me. That got everybody talking about that. Is, you know, as you know, as you were saying, Andy was the biggest prankster and hoaxer in the world, probably the greatest one. And one day he just relished his bad reviews. And one day he's reading his bad reviews. He says, oh, this guy's great. He says, this guy really hates me. He says, I should kill myself on stage. He says, Andy Kaufman has gone as far as he could. He should just kill himself on stage. And he said, Smuda, this is such a great idea. I said, what, are you going to kill yourself on stage now? He goes, no. He says, but what if I faked my death?
Oh.
Andy, let me stop you right there. Faking your death is illegal. And he was very perplexed about it. He said, what do you mean? I said, people fake their death every day. I said, for insurance reasons, the mafia's after them. They killed somebody. You know, insurance fraud. I said, this is one prank you'd have to do on your own. And he shut up about it, and he never asked me about it again. Now, when researching my book, I spoke to John Moffat. John, remember the TV show Fridays?
Uh-huh.
It was like a rip-off of Saturday Night Live.
Right.
It wasn't very good, but Moffat Lee produced it. And John Moffat, I spoke to, and John Moffat said that about 6 months after I had this conversation with Andy, Andy was at his house and made him swear on a stack of Bibles that he was going to tell him that Andy was working on the greatest prank of all time, that he was going to fake his death. And he asked John, how long do you think he'd have to be gone for people to believe he really died? Lynn Margulies, who's Andy's lover, at the end of his life, who Courtney Love plays in the movie Man on the Moon, she tells me that they would have great discussions about this, and Andy finally settled on the fact that it would be 10 years. 10 years would be the time that you would believe then that the guy really died.
So how many years has it been?
15 years by the time the movie comes out.
Okay. Yeah, he's really dead.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's dead. There is the thing, that one that's really odd is that him and I wrote a script called The Tony Clifton Story for Universal. It never got made. But on page 114 of that script, and this was written 8 years before Andy Kaufman would die, you're talking about his alter ego, Tony Clifton. He has his alter ego die of lung cancer at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. 8 years later, Andy Kaufman himself would die of lung cancer at the same hospital. So unless this guy could predict the future, it's these strange occurrences that got people talking.
You know, I just want to go tell you one inside thing, my little insight to this.
Yeah.
About 15 years ago, I worked in Chicago. I worked there for a couple of years.
My hometown, yeah, go ahead.
And there's this guy that I knew. A guy lived in my apartment complex. This guy's name, and I know you know him because I was surprised to read his name in the book. His name is Joe Trione.
You know Joe Trione?
I know him. I mean, I haven't talked to him for 15 years, but he's the guy that used to live by us in Arlington Heights, Illinois.
Right?
Yes.
This guy, one day we're talking to him. Fred and I were first married in our little apartment. Andy Kaufman's name comes up, and he says, hey, I'm one of Andy Kaufman's best friends.
That's true.
And you know what? I'll tell you something. We never really believed him.
Right.
We always thought that he was like one of those guys that, because how do you prove
unless
that?
You produce the celebrity?
Well,
right?
I'm reading the book a couple of months ago, and I'm about halfway through, and all of a sudden I see goddamn Joe Trione's thing, it's in the book.
And Joe's a huge top psychologist now in Chicago.
Wow.
And, really?
Yeah, and he was a friend of Andy's. As a matter of fact, he was an actor, too, and Andy used him in many of his sketches. What's so odd is he's the only guy, that's why I quote him in the book, he's the only certified psychologist who spent a lot of time with Andy. And he went on record that saying that Andy had multiple personality, not disorder. Joe calls it multiple personality order, because Andy could order up these different entities in him. When Andy Kaufman, and this is so weird how weird this gets, when Andy Kaufman, Andy himself never smoked, he never drank, he was a vegetarian, he was into holistic medicine, he meditated and did 3 hours of yoga every day, yet when he would become that filthy lounge lizard, Tony Clifton, which he would become for days, he would drink, he would smoke, he'd eat steaks, he would ruse with prostitutes. It was the most bizarre thing. He had in his contract at Paramount Pictures for Taxi that he had to have separate contracts. spots, one for Andy Kaufman and one for this Tony Clifton. Tony Clifton had his own parking spot next to Andy with his name on it. Tony Clifton had his own dressing room. This was not done for publicity.
All right, listen, let me get some facts here from you.
Yes.
Tell us, without giving away everything in your book, I mentioned the fact that when Andy went on Letterman with the wrestler,
right.
That was all set up between Andy and the wrestler, but Letterman knew nothing about it. Is that right? Or do you not want me to say that?
Here's what it is. It's only because some of the stuff is coming out in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And so I can't talk to, because, you know, I'm a co-executive producer of the movie, and I'm Milos Forman and Jim Carrey, and I want to piss them off.
Okay, what about
everything else I could talk about, guys?
Can you tell us about when you went on Letterman as Tony Clifton, and when Letterman thought that you were really Andy pretending to be Tony?
Well, this is how bizarre it got. So anyway, remember, Andy first started in New York City doing that foreign man character, right? And he'd go to the clubs, and you'd believe he was that foreign freak, you know, that with the accent.
Is that the same thing we saw on Saturday Night Live when he was kind of a variation of the Mighty Mouse
bit? That guy.
Yeah, that's the foreign guy. Okay, very good.
Yeah, he's that guy. So, but once Andy became famous, you knew that that was just a character he was playing. And this robbed him of great fun. So once he became a celebrity, you knew, well, he's not really a foreign man. He's a guy from Great Neck, and he's a celebrity. He can't really play off the foreign man thing like he used to, you know, in his act, because he used to do it, and people would believe that guy was real. So he developed this Tony Clifton character.
What a great story this
now,
is.
Now, Tony Clifton, when he came to Hollywood, we had the money because we were able to hire the top Hollywood makeup artist. We then had the 4.5-hour makeup job would put on Andy all these prosthetic pieces so he could become Tony Clifton. Well, that lasted for a little while, for a couple months, until finally the Hollywood insiders figured out that, in fact, Tony Clifton was Andy Kaufman. And that really pissed him off again, because he said, shoot, I can't even do that anymore. I can't.
Was the makeup credible at the very beginning?
They had masks and stuff.
I mean, what I'm saying is, would somebody that would see Tony Clifton early on, would they say, would it not appear to be makeup when he would walk into, say, a lounge?
No, in the early days, Andy did this himself, and it was very bad makeup. He had nose putty, and he had a mustache, and he'd have sunglasses and a very cheap toupee, and he'd put this on, and he'd go into clubs where people knew him, and they'd go, that's Andy with a cheap mustache.
Okay, all right,
You know, it would amaze them. So when we finally got out here, I said, look, if you want to pull this charade off for real, we got to spend some money and do it upright. And then we brought on the top makeup guys, and we designed Tony Clifton's face, and then...
Fantastic, it's all a goof. It's just all a big goof.
Here's the crazy part that happened. So anyway, after he finally is Tony Clifton and Hollywood figures out that it's Andy Kaufman, he gets real peeved. And he says to me, oh, wait a second. I got a great one. They think I'm Tony Clifton. You know what, Smuda? You put this stuff on. You be Tony Clifton. So then his management started booking me on Merv, on David Letterman. I would go on Letterman. I would sit across from Letterman, and during the commercial break, Letterman would turn to me and say, Andy, if I didn't know it was you, I'd swear it was somebody else.
That is just too cool.
Wait, here's the cool one. Here's the coolest one, guys. So then Tony Clifton gets booked at Harris Casino for 3 weeks in the main room.
I remember that.
Right, in South Lake Tahoe. And the Harris Casino calls up his manager, George Shapiro, who was so great at going along with this stuff. And they said, you know, we want to hire Andy Kaufman to do this Tony Clifton. And George said, wait a second, let me stop you right there. Andy Kaufman and Tony Clifton are two separate people. And they went, oh, yeah, okay, George, we get it. So they hire this Tony Clifton, and it's me for 3 weeks. Now, get this. During the day, Andy shows up to be seen in the casino to fool the employees.
It's pretty great stuff. Isn't
and
it?
Amazing. I would go out and I would do this act, and Andy usually would be at the brothels in Nevada. But occasionally, he'd drive up to Tahoe, and he would disguise himself as Bob Zmuda. He'd have a long blonde hair wig, a beard, and sunglasses, and he'd start yelling at Tony Clifton on the stage that why are you doing this? We know you're really Andy Kaufman. Tony, me, would call the security from the hotel to have him bodily thrown out of the casino.
That's great.
Did they know they were throwing out the guy they thought they hired?
Oh, that's Christ, incredible. Listen,
last time, could you do your Tony Clifton voice for us?
No, I cannot.
You cannot?
No, I cannot.
Now, why is that?
Because there's certain rituals when one does Tony.
All right, understood.
Yeah.
Listen, I'd love to book you.
Guys, I promise you someday he'll give you a call.
I'd love to book you back around the time the movie comes out.
Yes, well, I think, well, we're going to get Tony out there anyway to do that. But now I got to tell you this last one because this is the killer.
Okay.
So I'm doing Clifton for 3 weeks in Harris. Now, across the street at Caesars, there's one of these Vegas, Zoptic Las Vegas shows with these topless, gorgeous girls. And I noticed that every time between one of these girls, between their shows, the girl runs over and she's hanging around the stage door because she's a huge Andy Kaufman fan. Well, I figure, hey, I'm going to take advantage of this. I'm in the makeup. She thinks I'm Kaufman. So I proceed to have an affair with her for 4 days.
In the makeup.
I can't take the makeup off. Well, no, I'm not Andy. I give her some BS that there's not enough prosthetic pieces for the run, so I got to keep them on.
And she still did you?
Absolutely.
All right.
So, wow. But here's the kicker to it. Here's the kicker. So finally, the run's over, and she asked me for my phone number. I can't give her Bob Smooter's phone number. I got to give her Andy Kaufman's. So I give her Andy's. A month and a half later, I get this hysterical call from Kaufman. He says he just got a call from this girl at LAX, wants him to pick her up. It's the girl from Tahoe, and that she wants to stay with him for a few days. I said, what's your problem? You slept with her for 4 nights.
Okay.
He picks her up. He takes her back to his home. Every hour and a half, he's calling me on the phone because I know about her family, her friends. I'm giving him information. You know, he's downloading me. He has an affair with her.
Oh, God.
She is not going to know that she reads this book.
Pretty great.
That's incredible.
The name of his book is called Andy Kaufman Revealed, Best Friend Tells All.
Mm.
Love having you on.
Thanks, guys.
Love to have you when your movie comes out.
I'm going to tell Joe Triani to call you.
Oh, please do.
That'd be great.
I swear to God, I've talked to him for 15 years.
Oh, great.
All right, I'll see you.
Thanks, okay, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Well, listen, he was a little verbose, but I'm sorry. That's
how
like,
many think it was weird that he didn't want to do the voice? That was a good question you asked him. And I all of a sudden, you know, with all this going on, I got a little creeped out that he didn't want to do the voice like on command there. You know, mm-hmm. There's certain rituals to
Kooky.
Certain rituals, huh?
Yeah, like waking up Andy.
That's
really just Andy Kaufman is one of the things that I seriously could sit and talk about
right.
for 4 hours.
Well, it's a fascinating story.
So funny on so many friggin' levels.
I mean, that is just hysterical. If you picture Andy Kaufman dressed as the guy Bob, who's dressed as pretty
right.
incredible stuff.
And too bad he didn't want to talk about the wrestling being fake.
You know, and I like to think of also, you know, if he said it was going to be 10 years, well, 15 years would be more credible.
Well... I think he's dead.
No, what better place to come out?
Dead.
But what better place to come out than sure. the premiere of the movie about your life?
Wow. Okay. Pretty cool. Pretty great book. Guy had a little diarrhea of the mouth.
Yeah, it's all right.
He took himself a little seriously.
Yeah, he's into it.
Interesting, you know. He's also the executive.
What's the guy really look like? Let me see a picture of the way he really looks.
It looks like Jerry Garcia. Because I got a picture of him here showing Jim Carrey how to be Tony Clifton.
Okay.
There's Jim Carrey. And there's Bob Zmuda.
There's Bob.
Right? Amazing. Jerry Garcia-like.
Amazing.
A big fat guy with gray hair and a big ponytail.
It'll be interesting to see how the movie is. Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey, I think, has the talent to pull that off.
Okay. Well, thank you to Bob. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
Not the room. It's not how cold it is. It's that you're not funny.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike, Joe. Hello, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, Sacramento. Hello.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Well, I want to tell you about one time I was in
there.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. Return to our regularly scheduled program momentarily. Please stay tuned.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Well, I want to tell you about one time I was in Japan with my girlfriend, my now my mother-in-law, and my mother. The four of us were over there in Japan, and my girlfriend and I, my now wife, we were in a hotel room, and my mother-in-law was walking around the room, and my wife and I were underneath a blanket, and we kind of decided to throw it in kind of the backside. And
what are you talking about?
Hold on, slow down. Who's in the hotel room? You and your mother-in-law and your wife?
Exactly.
Why are you under the blanket while your mother-in-law is in the room? Did you just sneak in, or did you?
we were just kind of laying there watching TV, threw a blank, you know, the comforter up from the bed over, and we're just kind of snuggling, watching some TV, kind of talking to her. And
were all three of you staying in the same hotel room together?
No, my mother and I were staying in another hotel room.
I'm sorry, but we must have the Inquisition. Why were you in Japan with your future mother-in-law and your mother?
It was a delegation, actually.
A delegation?
A delegation of what?
Visiting a city over there. That was
a delegation of poor communicators?
Yeah.
What city?
I'm not going to go that far. All my friends listen to the show.
Your son's listening to the show.
No, he said all his friends are listening.
Oh, his friends
are
listening to the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're big fans there in Sacramento.
No, wait a minute. We're just trying to blow some holes in this story. No pun intended. why did you go to Japan?
We were with a delegation. We were visiting
a delegation of what, though?
Of people. Of
why?
People from the Sacramento area.
Business, tourist, education, what?
It was like a tourist.
Like tourists. Tour, like tourists. Yeah. So you were with a tour. It was a vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
A delegation.
Delegation.
Moron.
Please. I got a delegation in my pants.
We'll keep it out of my wife's hotel room.
All right. I had to hang up on him. I think he was going to get to a point about talking about having sex with his mother-in-law, maybe.
It sounded like he was going to talk about having sex in the bad spot.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I believe the children are future. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Chair lady? I told you, you can only call this show when you sing like Cher and sing Cher songs.
Why do you have to limit me creatively? Why can't I be other people?
No, Cher, you have to be Cher.
But Cher is a big tramp.
Be Cher.
What selection would you like me to sing?
If I could turn back time.
Okay. If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, I could die. I don't remember the damn words. I can do a great, great Simca from Taxi. Do you want to hear it?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, wait, give me a second.
Come on, Cher lady, your time's running out.
You got me on the spot.
Sorry. You know, you're only hanging on by a thread because Mike hates you.
Yeah, I've never said I hated her. Oh, I've never once said that.
The look on your face when she's on the telephone.
Is that what it
indicates
is?
Indicates great hatred.
It gives it away. Well, yes. I tell you, I'm not going to win a poker game with you today.
She's just hanging by a thread when she calls anyway because I like the share part.
I know you do.
But I can do without all the other. Hello, Leonard.
Yes.
Hi.
Donna Mike, radio
yes.
God.
Leonard from Georgia.
That's it.
Yes.
I called a couple months ago. Well, it was probably about 6 months ago about my girlfriend, like anal sex, and I didn't, and she was really rich. You remember that topic?
Hey, Robbie, I need my neck music, please.
All
right. Hold on, please. Hold on, let me get some music.
Do you think this is a redneck?
Oh, please.
I think it's a brother. Yeah. Are you a brother?
A brother.
No, I'm white.
Really?
Oh, wow. Never doubt me.
I'm not a redneck.
I never do.
Oh, yes, you are a redneck.
You know any rednecks that wear polos?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, they wear polo, but it's cut off above the navel.
Listen, I am being blinded from the light that is emitting from the back of your neck right now.
Oh, Lord.
You're a neck. It's okay, though.
I'm a college graduate, high school, everything.
Listen, you're an inbred redneck, but it's okay. What can we do for you?
Well, I called about 6 months ago my girlfriend was into anal sex and I wasn't, and you had gave me a reference of the guy with the brown penis. Do you remember this?
I don't remember that.
We gave you the what?
My reference name was the guy with the brown penis.
Your what name?
You gave me a reference name.
A reference name?
Yes.
Oh, the guy with the brown penis. Have you ever called again?
Yeah.
Have you had anal sex with your girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. We're married now.
See how well that reference name worked. None of us remembered it.
The guy with the brown penis.
But congratulations, sir. Are you enjoying that?
Yes. It's quite enjoyable now because, remember, her parents owned a lot of car dealerships and she was really rich.
Yeah.
And you told me to stay with her. I was contemplating and not staying with her. Now I have the brand new 2000 BMW 325i. So it's a very good
situation that she is.
So you, do you think that it's smart to talk about it on the radio?
Oh, she's out of town.
She's out of town, but what about perhaps, you know, the number of dealerships? If they own a bunch of auto dealerships, perhaps...
Are you saying that you're only with your wife because you get a new car?
Yeah.
Okay, you're saying that the only reason you marry this woman is for her money.
Exactly.
And you have sex with her in her bad spot.
In the bad spot.
And you say
that's how she likes it.
And her family owns several auto dealerships?
Yes, two.
Two, and do her, you know, like fathers, brothers, sisters, they all work for the family of auto dealerships?
It's a family deal, yes.
You doubted me if this guy was a redneck.
I don't know what I was thinking.
He is a clinician of the highest order.
I'm amazed at this. Will they perhaps be listening to you right now?
Oh,
people
no. They're if I'm considered a redneck in your eyes, they would be considered redneck scum scrotum or something. They were just they're awful.
But you've gotten a brand new 2000 BMW
325i.
Okay. And you're only with her because
of the money.
Because of the money.
Why are you saying this on the radio?
Well, I mean, you two are the ones who told me to stay in the relationship like 6 or 8 months ago when I called.
When we gave you the name, the man
with the brown penis.
The man with the brown penis.
But you don't love her at all.
I care for her, but I don't love her.
You don't love her. Do you tell her that you love her?
Yeah.
You graduated from college?
Yes.
What college?
University of Georgia.
Hey. Well, I bet they feel good about themselves now.
You're a bulldog?
A bulldog all the way.
What was your major?
Business management.
Okay. All right. Enough said. Gotcha. Okay. That's a, you know, you, it's like getting your passport stamped.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
You get a business.
Four years of nothing but partying and playing baseball.
That's right.
Do you work for the dealerships?
Yes, I do.
Do you sell cars?
No way.
No.
No, you got to work in service, right?
No, I don't. I'm just there.
No. Come on. What do you do?
Basically run, I mean, deliver cars to other dealerships. Like, it's a Ford place. They own a Ford.
He works in service. He works in, you're the one of the guys that if they want to run a car over to another dealership, you do that.
Exactly.
You work in service, but you don't work on cars.
No, I have no idea how to work on a car.
Uh-huh. What is your salary? Can I be so bold as to ask you that?
Yeah, I mean, my wife also works for the dealership. We bring probably $80,000 a year together.
You bring in $80,000 a year, and you don't work in service. You don't repair cars, and you don't sell cars. So you just...
I just drive cars.
You drive cars.
I do whatever. I'm a flunky.
Do you cheat on your wife?
Have I cheated on my wife?
No. Do you cheat on your wife?
I have, but, I mean, not since we've been married.
Do you want out of the relationship?
Oh, no.
Why?
I'm more happier than I've ever been in my life.
But don't you think that if this gets back to her, that there is a chance that this relationship might go up in smoke?
Yeah.
You know, and relatively speaking,
whatever.
80 grand's a lot of money, but that's not like marrying a goddamn millionaire.
Oh, I agree.
You could certainly, if you're just in it for the money, you could trade in and get a woman who's worth much more than 80 grand.
Not in the town I live in. It's probably, I mean...
So is what, she's the richest girl in this Georgia town?
The richest girl. It's probably the richest girl in my league.
Why do you think she married you? And think carefully before you answer this question.
That's an excellent question.
Why do I think she married me?
Yes.
Well, we met in college.
No, just answer the question. That was an excellent question.
I think she loves me.
You think she loves you?
Yes.
Why?
Why?
There you go.
Yes, why?
I'm a good guy. I'm a generally nice guy.
But you sound like it.
You've just called the radio show to say that you don't love your wife.
Yeah, you married her for the money.
You give up to her in the butt. You married her for her money. And that you cheated on her.
No, I haven't cheated on her since we've been married.
You haven't cheated on her since you've been married.
Exactly.
But you cheated on her when you were dating her.
We were dating, and she knew about it.
And she knew about it. So all is out in the open.
Do you subscribe to my philosophy? Tell me this, man with a brown penis. This is my great philosophy. Eating ain't cheating. Do you subscribe to that?
No, I never subscribe to that.
You do not agree with that?
No.
And so you are with her for the money, and you're telling the world this right now. Do you think that this has the potential to destroy the relationship?
You don't understand. You two told me this thing.
No, that's not the point. You're the one that's doing all the talking. Do you think that this might, you know, being on the radio, right? Please hear me.
Okay.
Being on the radio right now, talking like this right now, don't you think that could damage the relationship?
You think I'm shooting myself in the foot?
Listen, don't
yes,
think,
I do.
Don't you think
yes,
I could run in circles for you?
For ye?
Don't you think there's a chance that being as you're calling from the small, backwards Georgia community, to probably the only place in your part of Georgia that where you could buy a BMW, don't you think there'd be an off chance that somebody would say, hey, you know, that is Wilford or whatever inbred
the man with the brown penis.
Right. I heard the man with the brown penis on Donna Mike say that he doesn't love Bobby Sue or Donna Lou or what. I'm sure your wife has two names.
No, her name is Lisa.
Okay. Let's make sure that everybody knows that the woman we're talking about is Lisa.
Well, I don't think anybody listens to this station that I'm talking about.
Well, you know, you might be wrong about that.
I might be. Because y'all are well known. And
yes.
What if someone, what if one of Lisa's friends happened to be listening to
that? Well, if it comes down to it, I mean, the car is in my name, I mean, and I have a separate bank account. I mean, if it comes down to it.
For a while there, I was thinking this might be all a scam. This is legit.
No, this guy's on the level.
He's totally on the level.
Dude, this is not a fake caller. This is real, man. Welcome to the Great South.
Oh, this is for real. I'm not joking.
This is totally for real.
Yeah.
How do you get along with her family?
Great. Me and her father, we play golf every Wednesday and every Sunday.
He's a golfer, thank God.
Does he think you love his daughter?
No, he knows I don't love her.
You've told her father that you don't...
He doesn't love his wife.
It's a southern tradition.
Wow. I tell you, the pit is getting deeper.
He tells me, as long as I treat her in utmost respect, and if I cheat on her while we're married, he will make me divorce her. Now, he doesn't cheat on his wife. I mean, there's a difference between cheating on your wife and not loving her. I mean, I have a respect for her and her family.
Wow. This is how do you get along with her mother?
Not very well.
Not very well.
Why is that?
Because she's particularly a bitch. Excuse my language, but...
So you've just called your mother-in-law a bitch.
Oh, my wife calls her that. They don't get along at all.
Well, that's terrific.
Okay.
Do you all live in the same double-wide?
No, we have a seven-bedroom house.
You have a seven-bedroom house?
Yes.
So you live in a mansion?
No, it's not a mansion.
Well, seven bedrooms is a hell of a lot of bedrooms.
Well, the basement wasn't finished when we bought it. We finished the basement ourselves.
What's the square footage?
Probably about 4,700.
It's a big house.
That's a big house.
You got a cement pond?
No, we don't have it. We don't have a cement pond. The community we live in has a community swimming pool and tennis court.
A swimming hole?
It's got
a community swimming hole?
Yeah.
And you, so you're really, in all seriousness, you're just going on the fact that hopefully nobody's listening.
Hopefully. I mean, I just want to, I'm telling you guys, thank you for telling me to stay in the relationship 8 months ago.
Glad you're married.
I'm telling you now that you should leave.
You're telling me I should get out?
Yes, you should get out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's bad because, you know, one of these times, I think I know this, you don't believe in birth control, do you?
Me?
Yes.
I can't have children. I had a baseball accident when I was 19.
You had a baseball accident when you were 19?
Yeah.
You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, what was your...
I played shortstop for University of Georgia for 2 years.
Yeah.
And got drilled one day and broke my cup and was in the hospital for 3 months, and I'm sterile now.
So your balls were smashed?
Yeah, smashed very much so.
Must have hurt.
Oh, extremely.
Oh, come on now. This is where I just have gone from believing the guy to not believing the guy. And you had your balls smashed, so you're sterile.
Yeah, I'm sterile.
And you played baseball for the University of Georgia?
Yes.
Would you like to give us your real name?
My real name?
Yes.
Leonard Green.
Leonard Green. And you were a starting shortstop for the Georgia Bulldogs?
I played in 17 games in 4 years.
You know, Mike, for all we know, if we were to call the U of G,
they might have a Leonard
They could
Green.
Have a Leonard Green. This guy could simply be taking the identity. And right now, I'd like to say, for the record, we don't know for sure that this is Mr. Leonard Green.
How can I prove it to you?
Well, there's really no way.
You could do?
Yeah.
Off the air, you could give us the number of the car dealership,
okay.
And we could call the car dealership with you on the phone. You think your father-in-law's at work right now?
What time is it?
It's 6 o'clock.
No, he's not there right now. We can schedule a call for tomorrow.
No. I would like to handle this right now.
He's willing.
Would there be someone at the dealership now
that would be able to confirm your identity?
No one there at this moment, no.
Really? Why is that?
We close at 4:30.
That sounds.
I don't believe that either.
I think we might be getting to the bottom.
We're getting towards the sugary candy coated center of this line.
This is all just crap.
It's not crap.
Yes, it is.
Well, listen. I'll tell you what. I'm going to do a commercial set, and you have to come up with somebody that we can call when we come back from break, who can verify who you are.
Okay.
Okay.
Stay there, Leonard Green.
husband to Lisa.
Very interesting.
Man with brown penis.
That just dances with wolf's name.
It just gets curiouser and curiouser.
Man with brown penis. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
My husband's a very important man. Very busy at the office. Can't do without him. I'm very grateful he's giving me this much time.
From Georgia. Now, we've gotten many calls from guys like this, Gene, who works for BMW. Hello, Gene.
Hey, Don Mike, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
How's it going? This guy, something in his story is not right. He said he got a 2000 BMW.
Yes.
They don't make a 325 anymore.
We've only had about 1,000 guys call today to say that BMW no longer makes.
Right. It's only 323s and 328s.
Well, you know, that's a hole in the story. That, you know, he said a 325i. I remember when he said that.
Take a shout out. Hey, Leonard.
Yes.
Leonard.
Well, hold on. The guy from BMW just hung up.
Leonard, we've had a lot of guys who know a lot about BMW has called to say that the model that you're saying that you're driving, BMW no longer makes.
325i.
Yeah, so they don't make a 2000 325i.
Who said this?
Many guys from across America who've called us.
Many guys across America are probably jealous because they don't have one.
You know, I really do think this is important. If he's sticking with this, we could save some time here.
All right, that's... Get me some more guys who know about BMWs.
And they have to. It has to be easy. I mean, if they either make... So, Leonard, you're claiming they do make a 2000 325i.
Yes, they do.
Okay, hold on, Leonard.
Hold on a second. Well, this will be fast enough.
Hey, hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Detroit.
Pardon me?
Hello?
Hello, hola.
Hello.
Hola.
Well, listen, maybe it's not going to be as easy as I thought. It's our listeners, Don. It's not necessarily always going to be a picnic.
Hello, Brad.
Brad?
Hold on. Jim. Jim, buddy.
Yes, Don.
Jimbo.
Buddy.
Yes.
This guy, he said he got a brand new 2003 25 BMW.
Yes.
They stopped making those in 1995.
All right, thank you. Here is Mark calling from a BMW dealership in California. Mark.
Good.
He's full of jelly.
He's full of jelly?
Jelly between his ears.
Do you want to talk to him?
Jellified.
No, this guy, you don't work at a BMW dealership.
Apparently not. But there were a lot of guys that called, right?
There were tons of guys who called.
Now they're all hiding.
Hello, Derek.
Yes.
Derek, tell us about the car.
Well, if you go to BMWUSA.com, that'll show you all the model lines.
Well, why don't you just tell me? I don't have time to go to BMW.com.
Well, I'm not there now.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Hello, Russ.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Russ. Do you know about this car?
I got a 99 BMW 323i. My other option was a 328. They don't make a 325.
All right, this is a guy that bought one.
All right, thank
you. Let's find out from,
Hello, Matt.
Yes.
Hi.
What is Mike?
Yes, what do you know about BMW?
Why don't you just go on the BMW website?
No, we don't have the access to the website right now.
We don't have it.
And Wendell just informed me that the whole...
Access?
Wendell informed me the computers for the entire company have crashed.
We could not even get on goddamn AOL today to check our mail.
Oh, that blows.
This place has the worst computers, but thank you. Thank you for your help.
All right. Bye.
Well, it's appearing to, shoot holes in young Leonard's story.
But we've had no one to definitively yet tell us.
Yeah, somebody that's maybe at a dealership say, we don't make it, and then maybe get that guy on with Leonard.
Right.
And maybe pepper him with questions about the dealership.
But we've not had that call yet. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, this is Mike. I work at BMW.
But I guarantee you one thing. I guarantee you when we're off this topic,
yes,
that's when every goddamn BMW dealer in America will call us.
That's right. Come on, car people.
Yes, hello.
Yes, this is Mike. I work at BMW in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
They do not make a 325.
Hey, do you think you could ask Leonard questions?
I'm sorry, I don't trust this guy because of the accent.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry.
All right, very good.
I'm sorry, he sounds just like Leonard.
Captain, good call.
I need a Yankee.
I understand.
No Southerners, please. No Confederates. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, look, I'm on the highway, but I can get over. I've got a manual in the back. I'm a registered locksmith, and it'll tell you whether they've got a 325i.
We've already established that. That's far too much trouble to go through.
Oh, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi. I live in the BMW in Sacramento.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no 325.
All right,
Don't you think he was lying?
Yes, we need somebody more reputable.
He was big time lying.
Right now. It still looks good for Leonard.
Yes, it does.
Thank you. Charlie Broyhill has actually just gotten us the Kelly Blue Book used car values.
Mm-hmm.
Retail 2000 BMW.
Mm-hmm.
There is no 325i.
All right. Well, there it is.
There's the answer.
Leonard? Leonard?
Yes.
I'm looking right now at retail for BMW.
Yes.
BMW.
The Black Book or the Kelly Blue Book?
Kelly Blue Book.
Okay.
KBB.com.
Yes.
And I see that they have the 323CI, the 323I, the 328CI, the 328I, 528I, 528IT, 540I, 540IT, 740I, 740IL, and 750IL.
There is no 325I.
It's in my driveway.
Oh, no.
It's a four-door 325i.
Year 2000.
Yes.
Hold on, please.
Well, my wife bought a 740IL at the same time.
Hold on, please. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, calling from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the bio.
I work for a BMW dealership over here.
Yes.
Okay, you work for a BMW dealership.
Yes. Luke. BMW. Luke of these nuts.
Oh, jeez. Hi, Charlie.
I was wondering if you're thinking that Leonard maybe was sold a 2000 BMW 325i, and it really isn't.
I don't know. Bob?
Yes.
Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I didn't want to be on the air, but I got a 2000 Deuce in my driveway. I'm going to look out the window.
You have a what, Bob?
A 2002. I brought it back from Germany when I left. They don't make that car.
Wait a minute.
Wait, you're saying you have
a 2002 model BMW?
Yes.
You mean they make 2002 cars? They make cars from a year that's...
They did in 1973, 1972. They don't make the car he's talking about.
Wait a minute. In 1972, you bought a 2002 car?
That's correct.
Time machine.
Pardon?
Wait a minute.
What is going on? Wait, I am so confused.
This is another drunk guy.
It's a model 2002. That's the model number of it.
That's the one I brought
back. Like a 225, it's a 2002.
They don't make the car he's talking about.
We got to ask Leonard. You know, right, we have to ask Leonard specifically if he's talking about a 2000. Is it the model
Leonard,
year?
Leonard, yes. Answer these questions now. Are you talking about the model or the year of the car?
The 2000?
Yes.
Yes.
It's the model number. They have a 2000. Okay, look. I know a lot about BMWs. I'm sorry.
All right, hold on. Let me just get to the bottom of this. Greg, do you own a BMW dealership?
This is Barbara Streisand.
Oh, my God. Nobody's helping out. I just want to say, when all you BMW guys call later in the show, F you. I want to say F you because I know that you're going to call later.
I agree.
You're going to go, oh, Donna Mike won't give me a free plug.
So he's saying it's a 2000. I thought he was talking about a month. When you talk about cars, you say, I got a 1999.
What is the year?
You know,
what's the year of your car then? Leonard.
Yes.
What's the year?
What year was it made?
Yes, that's the question.
1995 2000 BMW. It's like a 325i. They made a 2002.
All right, listen, Leonard, listen. Do you have anyone who can verify your identity? I asked you that before the last commercial break.
Who? I thought that's what the deal was. You went off on the whole excursion about the BMW.
Yes, the excursion. I could run circles around ye. Who did you come up with?
Kel Wilder.
And who is that? Is this someone at a business or is this a residence?
No, he's a person.
He's a person. No, we need to call a business, someone reputable, because you could just give us the number of one of your inbred friends.
Oh, Lord. A business. Reputable business. Okay.
Or you know what you could do? Give me the number of the BMW dealership that your father-in-law owns, because I'm sure...
No. I never said he owned a BMW dealership.
Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did, Leonard.
No.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
No.
You said that this...
Play the tape. You have the tape. You record everything.
Oh, you know something, Leonard? You're jerking us around.
Listen.
Leonard, you're jerking us around. And you know something? The 2000 BMW, that's jerking us around, too.
Right. Are you ready for this?
Well, you ready for what?
Are you ready for it?
I'm going to tell you something, you son of a bitch. If you say something like these nuts...
No, I'm
going to star 69 and give your number out on the radio.
Oh, I can give the number out on the radio anyway.
Yeah, okay, Leonard. Well, we don't want you to do that because it's probably going to be somebody else's number.
Okay.
Listen, why don't you just give me the number of the BMW dealership in which your father-in-law somehow is involved? Because I'm sure that even if they're closed, they'll have an answering machine that says, hey, we're open from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m.
Okay, let me get a card. Hold on.
You don't get a card.
You don't know the number?
Why would I know the number?
You don't know the number of the place you work?
Mm-hmm. Hey, what were you saying? Get ready for this, Leonard. What did you mean by that? What were you going to say after that? Get ready for this.
Oh, the dealership, the people that you want to know the record of business, Paradise Bay, the tanning bed that my grandmother owns, the tanning salon that my grandmother owns.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
You said to tell you who I was.
All right, so you mean you'll give me the number of your grandmother?
She's not there. She doesn't run it. She's 76 years old, but there's a girl there that runs the tanning bed.
Yeah, you know what I'd like? I'd like your grandma's phone number.
My grandma's?
Yeah, is your Nana still alive?
My grandma's alive, yes.
Yes, give me her number.
Okay, hold on.
That's good. Hold on, please. I would feel comfortable calling this guy's grandmother. That's a hard one to fake, to call up and act like a grandma.
Oh, why all of a sudden we're calling a tanning salon when
this was supposed to be a dealership? No. He's giving us his Nana's tanning salon because that's a business that she owns.
Oh, all right.
So that we could call the business and they could verify.
I think that's what this idiot is saying.
I think so.
Hey, call him. Hey, don't call him right on the air. Call him first and then put him on the air.
Hello.
Just humor me on this.
Hello, Charlie.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
You could ask this guy what the how big the engines are. He said his wife bought a car in a 740 and a 325.
Okay, you're losing me with that. You got the number, Rob?
Yeah.
All right, call it right now. Okay. Just give it a call. Just call and say you're... Ask for what's the name he gave?
Anita.
Ask for Anita.
Interesting.
I need a man to hug and kiss. I bet.
It could happen.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anita tracked.
Hey there, hi there, ho there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it's a BMW.
You know, it's been my experience that normally when you're dealing with people that own tanning salons, it's always very reputable.
Oh, you're getting close to that again.
I know, I flirt with it. I flirt with it occasionally.
You're getting very close to it.
Right. Pam, do you have a grandson named Leonard? You don't know anyone? Do you know anyone named Leonard who lives in Georgia? Would you care to go on our radio show and state that? Okay, hold on, please. You're going to go on the air.
Very good.
All right, Rob's already asked it.
Very good. Yes, hello. Is this Anita?
Pam Wilder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this Pam?
Yeah, it is.
Pam, hi. This is the Don and Mike radio show. Hi, this is the Don and Mike show. Listen, they already told you you're on the air.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a grandson named Leonard Green?
No, sir, I sure don't.
All right, let me put you on the phone with someone who claims to be your grandson. Hey, talk to this lady. She doesn't seem to know you, Leonard.
Pam! I don't know you, Leonard.
You don't know me?
I ain't your grandma.
You ain't my grandma?
No, I ain't.
Well, what are you to me, then?
I ain't no kin to you. I don't reckon, Emma.
What kind of car do I drive?
What kind of car?
Yeah.
It's a purple Mercedes, ain't it?
It's a BMW.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, I know who you are.
Who knows?
I don't know what kind of illegal conspiracy
Absolutely.
We have tumbled into here. I don't know if you are smuggling moonshine.
Fascinating.
Or what the hell is going on.
But we're never going to figure this out.
No, we're not. So are you his grandmother, Pam?
No, I'm not.
Then, Leonard, why did you say this was your grandmother?
No, I said my grandmother lives there.
No, you didn't, Leonard.
Disqualified, Leonard, a man with a brown penis. Goodbye.
Goodbye forever, Leonard.
Don, I might.
Goodbye forever, Leonard.
Goodbye, Leonard.
No. Goodbye, Leonard's friend.
Ask for Pam Wilder.
Goodbye, Leonard's friend.
Goodbye.
Come on now. You got to work with me.
No, I don't got to work with you.
Nope. No,
sure don't.
You blew it, Leonard.
The whole thing is legit.
Yeah, right.
That's right, Leonard.
It's 100% legit. Right.
What can I do to prove it? We've called people.
No, you blew it, Leonard. No. You blew it. You had your opportunity and you blew it.
No, Leonard, you're lying.
You're a liar.
Any questions?
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
All right, I ask you this question. Why did you call us and lie today?
Because I want to make the Don and Mike show the time when y'all play the show when you're not there.
The best of?
You wanted the best to be of. Well, let's make it.
I believe that may have been our first honest answer.
Will
we
make it?
No, Leonard.
And Donna Mike.
Yes.
I am a redneck. I live in Georgia. Anyway, I thought it was a pretty good story.
Right. All right.
Thank you. Goodbye, Leonard.
Jesus Christ, hey. You friggin' inbred.
Donna Mike.
God damn, come out of your mama's ass.
Jesus Christ.
Child of feces. God damn it, I swear to God, I hate that when those hillbillies try to pull that crap on us.
That is a wonderful new movie, though. Look for that coming out soon. Child of feces.
I just wanted to get on the tape, you know, when you guys aren't there.
Hi there.
Yeah.
How are ye?
All of that Christ.
Wow. Christ, if I didn't have to go to New York tonight, I'd drive to Georgia tomorrow. I'd kill you, Mr. Feces.
We did get out of that what I think is the phrase of the day, which was, I ain't no kin to you, I reckon. That's my favorite.
I ain't no kin to you, I reckon. And I'm not going to run around in circles for ye.
This is the Dawn and Mike.
Remember the old saying, the family that exercises together can't beat up the family that doesn't exercise.
Dawn and Mike are back, live in studio, tomorrow. Until then, it's the best of Dawn and Mike.
Rack up my steak.
I'm ready to hear this now.
I'm good.
Now, you said when it was 6.5 minutes, you expressed a certain amount of displeasure. You wanted me to maybe make it linger longer.
Well, however long you feel comfortable is what we like.
If I could have gone, you know, quicker, I would have. It was just, you had to go through all the items. And we were interrupted once by the children, and then I went and locked the door. Scurried. When in a war movie, when somebody dives on a grenade, that's the way I like laid my body out on this stuff.
Hold on, here she is now.
Good,
of course.
Hello.
Oh, boo boo! I'm not like Frida Graham Bell. You can't blame me when the cell goes bad.
Well, how are you, Beverly?
Oh, yeah, we have the most thoughtful
son. That's funny. That is so funny.
Yeah, nothing like spending all your money on paintball crap and giving your mom a card with the wrong name on it.
Happy Valentine's Day, Beverly.
Beverly.
Yeah.
Well, listen, just for the record, before we hear the tape of Mike and Laura, I know that you always think that Valentine's Day is, you know, a major freaking holiday. Did I pass this year?
You were very thoughtful and very supportive, and a lot of thought and love went into your gift, which was mucho appreciated.
Ah,
there
winner,
you go.
Winner, work. Winner.
That is a winner.
Mm-hmm. Winner, winner. Now, can we talk about Saturday night?
Yeah, I didn't hear what you said before, so I have no idea.
You said you all had a great time and he was a perfect gentleman.
I said what you told me, that you said that I was all over Bonnie.
Well, you know, in your own defense, which maybe I'm living in denial or living with blinders on, you have a drink and you get the personal body space, and this is true of a lot of people who drink, it shrinks. And you, so you are right in the face of anyone. I think you would be doing that, you'd be all over a man. I know I've seen you all over my sister Judy, and I don't think you have the hots for her.
Oh, I do, though.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am living in a dream world.
No, you're right, I do. But just tell me, I didn't think that there was anything out of line. I thought that it was simply me with a friend of mine, who I certainly feel safe with, because she's your best friend, for goodness sakes. And you're sitting 5 feet away from me.
Yeah, but you have done other rude things when I've been... I mean, that doesn't mean anything.
Right, that's
because
one
that's
time.
Too stupid to realize.
One time. Are you talking about the thing with Beth?
Yeah, and so I hate to see what you do when I'm not there, because really, you were a little too close for comfort.
Okay.
And it was remarked to me by my sister and by others the next day.
Well, all right, your sister, first off, she's a ball buster like you are.
She is not. She's the sweetest one in my family.
Can I tell you something?
Nobody. The rest of my family is tough, but
Robin. Robin, yes. Busted my balls yesterday worse than you did or anybody did.
I don't know why.
And after she got bombed on Friday night at the big oyster feast.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny how things go in that family.
Any friends of the family?
Pardon me?
She wasn't mauling any friends of the family, so maybe she thought...
Would you categorize me as having mauled Bunny?
A little too pausey. I know that...
Pausey.
Okay.
When you say pausey, you're not talking about taking pause. You're talking about like big paws like a bear?
Yes,
yeah.
Like big bear paws.
Describe it. Can you be specific, please?
All I'm saying is, if it had been me and Mike sitting there talking, and Mike had been as handsy with his paws as you were, you would have been upset.
Like, I would have been upset if I would have seen you humping Buzz.
Like, I squeezed Buzz one chest,
yes.
One side of his chest the other day, and you gave me so much grief about it after I had had a beer.
I didn't squeeze Bunny's chest.
Well, no, thank God.
Wasn't for lack of trying, though.
I was not as intent on Buzz as you were on Bunny on Saturday night.
Honey, really, I'm not being goofy now. Tell me specifically. Are you talking about a hand on a shoulder? Are you talking about...
A gentle, reassuring squeeze.
Yeah, hand on shoulder, face right in face, just a little too close for comfort.
Face in face? That was...
Mike, I didn't do that to her.
Okay. Mike is miming something that did not happen.
Same gesture used by Fat Bastard in the movie Austin Powers.
I don't think there's anything wrong with face on face.
Okay, you know what? That's all very good. So that next time we're out and I'm as tight on somebody as you were, that won't be a problem.
We've established rules.
Excellent.
If it was a problem...
Oh, shut up, New Buzz. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If it was a problem... If this was a problem,
I'm
not...
looking forward to getting together with the Burbanks. Now we just have new boundaries that we didn't have before.
If this was a true problem and not something that was manufactured the next day,
mm-hmm.
How come you didn't mention anything to me the whole time we were sitting at the kitchen table playing cards?
Because maybe I was having a couple glasses of wine myself, although not in the martini world that you were.
I made no bones about the fact I had a few martinis on Saturday.
Let me ask you a question because I don't think it's been answered yet. Frida, were you aware of Don's behavior? And was it something you really noticed, or was it something where you were like, whatever?
I noticed, but to begin with, I trust my friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so and he wasn't doing it to some strange woman. I didn't
trust
see anything.
Friend.
Doesn't trust me. Trust her friends.
There's a big difference. Right, that's true.
Mm. Well, I didn't think it was any big deal.
You know, it wasn't.
Okay, then why did everybody make it into a big deal, though?
Because you're not usually that way. And if I had been that way, you would have been upset. So I just think, I'm just surprised that, you know, that you think that's A-okay, but that's all right with me.
Can I tell you something? I was just as touchy with your sister as I was with Bunny.
That's what I've said, and I don't think...
No, I mean I was as touchy with your sister on Saturday night.
No, I didn't notice that.
I was.
Well, that's fine. You know what? That's fine. Then we're all just one big touchy-feely family now.
The only person that I didn't touch was Vicky, because I don't know Vicky that well.
All right. Well, touching is okay. So what I'm getting from you, if we're out and I touch somebody that I know all over, then that's fine.
Now, I did not touch her all over, though.
I mean, not all the private parts, but just if I'm very close.
Honey, you are already a touchy person. I've been pissed at you when you're not drinking. When you talk to a guy... I mean, for goodness sakes, for 20 years we've been going through this. We go to a dinner party or something, and my wife starts talking to a guy, and she doesn't say she put his hand on his arm or puts her hands on his hands, and she walks away, and I say, you know, why
you've never done that with me.
I say, why not give that guy a couple more signs that you'd like to get it on with him?
Yeah, see? There you go. Thank you. And how do you think other people interpret those signs?
As I said to you yesterday morning, it takes two to tango.
Yes.
I didn't notice Bunny ever saying to me at any point on Saturday night, hey, you
right.
know what?
It takes two to tangle, but that's the body language you were using. So if we can use that body language in our new open Burbank-style marriage, just let me know.
I don't want to swap, honey.
I know, but just pretend. Just give the body language like we are swappers.
That's the difference. Hey, that'll make for some exciting parties.
See, here's where you are frustrating. Where you are frustrating is that for years and years when we would have people over or we would go to social situations, you would get mad at me. And you would say, you know what, you're a hermit, you don't talk to anybody, because basically I'm really very shy, mm-hmm. So you're very quiet, you're very much an introvert, you don't talk to anybody, you don't socialize. Now you have the absolute opposite of that spectrum.
Yeah, you can chat, but usually it's better to chat if you can squeeze a dime in between the two chatters.
Okay, and you know why I was chatting closely with...
Squeeze a dime in between where?
Between the two people. Chatting.
Oh, between the two people.
And you know why I was chatting closely with Bunny? Because you were chatting closely with Vicky. About
right.
About
what?
Private stuff.
Yeah, that was true. All right, Shuggy, I don't have a problem with it. Nothing happened. You were a gentleman. I'm just
right.
saying.
There you go.
I'm storing this in my little female memory for the next time I feel like chatting super close and squeezing somebody's, you know, big strong muscle. Or when we're in a party.
See, all I'd like here, and I promise I'm going to end this because it's getting monotonous. I would just like a specific example of what petting was done that was not acceptable.
Heavy petting.
There was no petting.
It was fine. You were fine. You were just out of your normal character. And it could be interpreted, if no one knew you, as coming on to someone. It looked like that.
You're out of your mind. You are really out of your mind. You really are.
Me and all the other participants are out of our minds.
Uh-huh.
Sorry,
well, Robin is biased.
Only the man who had had, like, three or four martinis was a good judge. Only the man who tried to say he had a straight flush when he only had a 5, 6, and 7 was...
I was a little out of
it.
You had three cards?
I was
adamant that I had won this hand. I mean, I was screaming at these girls going, I have a straight flush. Look at this. I played poker before. You girls don't know what you're talking about. All right, honey. Well, I love you.
So that, yeah, okay, you have a good rational judgment. All right, love you too, Bill.
All right, you're my Valentine.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I love you. Goodbye.
I love you too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, kind of tough when you got all the women, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they like to gang up on guys.
Yeah, I know they do, especially Frida's sister. It was the worst yesterday morning when I woke up and my head was pounding, but I was faking like I was okay.
I'm fine.
I said, hey, you know what? Amazingly, I feel great. I went over to my mother-in-law's. We sat down at a breakfast table. So I sit down. My sister-in-law looks at me and goes, well, how are you feeling today?
Oh, God.
Well, you know, I'm feeling fine. Boy, you sure did have a good time last night.
How are we this morning?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Sounds like you had a good time.
I did.
And now you have new rules.
Yeah, right.
You can, like, you know, hug and squeeze at every party you go to.
Whatever. There was not as much hugging as she is as letting on here.
Wasn't any second base.
No, certainly not, Mike.
Or third base.
Now, there, you know what? I would agree. She'd have a problem if I was going to third base with Bunny.
Maybe third base if you had a straight flush, right, after all.
Imagine that. We're sitting around the kitchen table.
Look at this hand.
We're sitting around the table playing cards. I'm going to third base with Bunny in front of my wife.
I got a royal flush.
Christ, you won't believe this hand.
What a great hand. A great hand of poker.
Okay, let's listen to the tape on Mike, please.
All right. If I can set this up, can I set up the clip?
Yes.
Okay, this...
Hey, these cards are very sticky. Please wash these cards off, please.
What a great round of poker. That was the best poker game I've ever had. That was big, big fun. I have a royal flush. Third base.
I wish. Wouldn't that be great? Go to third base with both Bunny and my sister-in-law at the same time?
Absolutely, because, you know, hey, I'm a big winner. I'm a big winner at poker.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, so set this clip up, please. Here's what I did. You lost the bet on last week's episode, so you had to give your wife all of these dirty gifts.
Yes, when I was trying to communicate that this was, you know, this was a bet I lost. This isn't something I wanted to do. And the only thing that my wife knew that she was going to get was the thing, the czar, because
the dildo.
We'd gone out to dinner on Friday night, and we gave people a ride to their car in the parking lot, and they were in the back seat, and they found it. And then, you know, then I had to explain what, you know.
Found it. Now, why wouldn't you put that in the trunk?
Because it was in the pickup truck with the four doors. The pickup truck with the back seat, and so I didn't have anywhere else to put it. I can't put it in the back because then it'll like fly out and there'll be analies all over the highway. So what I did was I woke up very early on Saturday morning, and I think I woke up very early on Saturday morning because of the stress of this thing. It was a stressful thing.
Is this when you presented these gifts to your wife on Saturday?
That was my thought. My thought was, as I woke up, I was up super early, like 5:30, quarter or 6 on Saturday morning. I read the paper. I was messing around the house, and then I said, you know what I'll do. This will be great. I'll wake my wife up and present her with all these gifts. And so I went up, I started the tape recorder, and I said, all right, it's very early in the morning, and I'm going to give the gifts. And at that point, she was looking at me, and she went, No, not now. And I was just like, I mean, almost, it was like looking at Reagan from The Exorcist. Right. I said, no, all right, well,
no.
So I shut the tape off. She said, do your thing later. We're not going to do it now. So I couldn't do it when I thought the element of surprise would be there.
Isn't
I'd
that
get it over with.
Normally reaction you want to have sex to?
No.
Absolutely not. Do your thing later.
No. Later. So what I did was mid-morning, 10:30-ish, I decided we'd do this. The kids were watching a movie downstairs. And they were running around. They'd occasionally run upstairs. And so uh, I, I,
I decided that I'd shut the door and present the gifts while the kids were downstairs. And I thought I'd make, you don't hear the kids because they're off mic, but we had to stop tape once for the kids, and then I think maybe one other time. And then at the end, I'd forgotten to get.
Why didn't you just do it like yesterday morning or even this morning, since today is technically Valentine's Day?
I don't know. I don't know. I thought Saturday, I wanted to get it out of the way so we could enjoy the rest of the weekend, because it was not something, shocker, that I was looking forward to. So Saturday morning was it, and the tape is what follows.
Okay, let's...
me and my wife, who is, was thrilled.
Tape one?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Test one, two.
Oh.
Testing one, two. Testosterone, one, two, one, two.
Good morning.
Here we are, Saturday morning. The children are awake.
What time is it, like 10:30 Saturday morning?
Yeah. Well, that'll be Friday night.
Okay.
I was up at 5, too. Still haven't gotten the cobwebs up.
Yeah. You got up at that because you were anxious about presenting this gift to you.
I believe that is the reason. Sometimes I get up early because I'm just excited that it's a Saturday. I swear to God, I do.
Let me do a break, and then we'll come back, and I don't want to stop this tape halfway through.
And I really am. Sometimes, like on vacations and stuff, I get up super, super much earlier than I do when it's a work day, like today when it's just hell to get out of bed.
We will be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
What do you want to discuss now? My favorite color?
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
We'll listen to the tape of Mike and Laura on Valentine's Day. Not really, but this is Saturday.
Saturday morning and mid-morning.
Mid-morning. This is the official payoff of the Valentine's Day sweepstakes.
Test one, two. Testing one, two. Testosterone one, two, one, two. Here we are, Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's Flemmy, isn't it?
The children are awake. Sorry. I have a bag of goodies. I'm here with my wife. Hello, honey.
Yippee, happy Valentine's Day to me.
All right, I've got some lovely gifts for you. We are in our bedroom with the door locked.
Hiding from our children.
And the children are downstairs, and let me present you with these gifts.
I guess we have to get this over with sometime.
First of all, honey.
Now this I can use.
Here's a riding crop.
Okay, I like this.
You like this?
Uh-huh. Go take the trash out.
All right, let's hear it.
That's right. Laura.
That's she's not using it. That on your ass, right? That's
yes. Just the sound. It was on my penis. Wow. What year? And it was for the show. I didn't want to flinch.
Hey, loosen up. Look at you right now.
Of course,
look
I'm
at
upside.
You. Look at you. Arms folded.
Yes, I'm very
sitting
nervous.
Sitting up at attention.
All right.
Come on, there. That's good.
There we go.
My guy.
I'm loose now.
Come on.
You enjoy that.
You didn't change the toilet paper?
All right. All right, easy with the riding crop.
She was very, very excited with the riding crop. It seemed to like that. Really, genuinely enjoyed that gift.
Second of all, here are edible undies.
For me or for you?
For you.
No.
Hope you enjoy them.
You're going to be, no one will be enjoying.
Everybody loves
dog
it.
Dog will eat that, I'm sure.
All right.
See, so far everything's fine.
So far, you sound like an executioner.
I'm
like a Green Mile.
That's exactly. It's a dead man walking.
Dead man walking.
Dead man walking. Now, paying off a bet.
Right.
Well, Rob, what's the deal with a girl? He did find out what the deal is with, is it Jenna or Shiloh?
I believe it was Shiloh, and she had her nose done.
Ah.
And it was good that I got there when I did, because they were having trouble tying their bikini bags.
Oh, you. Definitely Robbie. You.
Always willing to lend a hand.
Oh, Robbie.
Okay. Thank
so you've given your wife two gifts thus far.
Edible panties and the riding crop.
Oh, the best is yet to come.
Most definitely.
Next on the list, I'm not sure what to get you next, but this is hot, super hot motion lotion.
Oh, my God.
She didn't know this was coming, huh?
This looks like it might hurt.
Well, it's something I think we might want to keep around the house.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I meant that.
I'll put some in your dinner.
There's a follow-up to this, too.
My loving wife.
She's celebrating.
Check testing one, two.
Now, you've had to turn it off?
Yes, we have to stop tape. I explained here.
Oh, okay.
One, two. We are back. If you noticed that, we just shut the tape off because our children were at the door, and we do not want them seeing any of these lovely little products. Now, I guess, I don't know, unless you want to just hang them from the kitchen pots and pans.
Might as well get them used to this stuff now.
I think
Thank you, honey.
All right, our next item on the list. I understand. You're really happy we're doing this, aren't you?
I am thrilled beyond belief.
She sounds happier than you do.
Well, yeah. She's handling it pretty darn well.
Yes.
Absolutely handling it very well. And I, you're right. I sound like Dead Man Walking. I apologize to our listening audience.
The place I'd rather be than right here, right now.
Thank you. This next item here is Julian stud ring.
Oh, my God.
That's for your stud.
Nice color, pink.
Thank you.
It's a hot pink.
You don't need this
ring.
God bless you. All right.
She gave me a compliment.
Where are we?
She said you don't need this.
I don't
this.
Need this, right?
The cock-a-doodle-doo ring.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
You don't need this, honey.
God bless you.
Thank you for replaying.
All right. Where are we next on the list? All right. Okay, here we go. The next item.
It's soft and stretchy.
Okay, put it down, please. Please, put...
I'm not sure what it is.
She's playing with the cock-a-doodle-doo ring?
She's playing with something. I don't know what it is. I forgot.
And there, the first sign that she might be having some fun,
yes.
You quickly put an end to that.
I was very, at one point I had my hand up, you know, for her to stop talking. Please, I was very nervous.
No need for you to have a good time.
That's right. No, please.
Down for the love of God.
Well, back it up, Robbie. I think this might be the czar.
Oh, really? You gave her the czar now?
Yes, I think I gave her the czar.
Okay.
Where are
the
we?
The czar
next time
in an instant was out of the package.
Like, all right.
Huge dildo.
Okay, here we go. The next item.
Soft and stretchy.
Okay, put it down, please. Please, put it down.
For the love of God.
What? I don't know what she had. I don't know if she had her name. It might have been the Julian stud ring, or it might be the next item. But I don't think the next item was out of the box, so I think she was playing with Julian's stud ring.
Our next item. Nipple clamps, honey.
Oh, are those for you?
Yeah, I'll wear them for you.
Okay, that's fine. As long as they don't come anywhere near my body.
She actually took those out, and we were looking at them, and
yeah.
the part that's supposed to clamp onto the nipple has a soft rubber tip. It wasn't like total metal.
Oh, I got
so,
you.
So the part that clips onto the nipples,
but still it
was hurt. Oh no, it was very comfortable.
Originally they were for you, but if you'd like, I'll wear them today.
Actually, they're just a little heavy, and I'm not exactly, you know, the largest girl.
Okay,
don't sell yourself short.
Thank you.
She'll appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. You'll get a big hug the next time you see her for that.
Sure.
But I actually came very... I didn't put them on, but I came very close to... of course, and did I mention I'm naked during this whole thing?
Oh!
Totally naked.
Naked and aroused.
Totally aroused. Totally turgid.
Please. I hear the children.
I hear little voices.
All right, hold on.
Ladies
and gentlemen, we are going to have to stop tape one more time.
A four-year-old and a two-year-old, you know, if you don't want them to come into the room, that's virtually right. Like saying, please come into the room as many times as you can.
Right. Okay, checking 1, 2, 1, 2. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have a four-year-old and a two-year-old, yeah. Your life is not your own, and we are trying to do this at...
even if we did this at 3 a.m, one of them would come in.
It's 10:37 on a Saturday morning, and that's when we're doing this. Where were we? Were we at...
Hey, thanks for the time check, Mike.
10:37.
Saturday morning.
That's 10:37 for you.
Charlie Warren Show, 10:37.
How are you? Have you seen a good film lately? Nipple clamps?
Yes, we just finished your nipple clamps.
All right, here we go. This is the next item up for bids on The Price is Right, and I think you're going to enjoy this. This is, honey, say hi to the 12-inch Emperor the Czar.
Oh, my God. Oh. I've never seen anything quite this small.
That was it out of the box at this point?
I don't think so. Not yet. Yeah, now it is. Now it is.
It even has veins.
Please put it back.
Hold on, was it even has veins?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Dirty birdie.
Oh, my God. It even has veins.
Please put it back. Thank you very much.
Who's awkward now?
This is
a total role reverse.
Your wife is having a fantastic time.
She's totally comfortable, and I'm just a mess. I'm a wreck right now.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
I know. We're putting that. Can we put that back?
That one I want to keep.
Oh, stop it. All right.
She wants to keep the czar? Oh, my.
Yeah, right. And this, I've saved the best for last.
Oh, no.
This is what I thought was last.
This is the Benoit butt plug.
Oh,
No.
She didn't like this.
What?
No.
Right. That's what she's saying.
I'll help you dive her tequila.
Stop it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've done it. I've fulfilled my duties. That is the presentation of the Valentine's Day gifts. How do you feel on Valentine's? It's not really Valentine's Day. It's Saturday morning, actually. But how do you feel?
Loved.
Wonderful. So from the O'Mara's loving bedroom, we sign off and wishing all of our listeners a very happy...
Go hide a couple of these things.
Thank you. And thank you very much, and so long, everybody.
Well, there's more, right?
Yes, I said God bless there. Honey, come in here, please. There was one more item that I forgot. It was right after the butt plug. This is cherry flavored, not flavored. It says it's cherry anal ease potion.
Oh my God! Let me see that.
Let me see that.
Yeah. Let me open that right up.
Let me
use it right away.
With anal ease.
Oh, gross.
Yes, my thoughts exactly. I would not have done my job. It was at the bottom of the bag, and I forgot. I didn't.
Small amount of anal.
No. Don't read the instructions.
Penetration.
Stop. All right. So we've done it now, Laura. We're done.
That's what I did.
Right now, this is where you're like telling her shut
that's
up.
That's when
right?
I had my hand up, and that's when she said, "Don't put your hand in front of my face." And I said, "I'm ahead." Laura, we're done. She wanted to read the instructions.
See what?
Desensitization.
Yes.
Right.
We were both drunk.
And we don't.
Before attempting penetration.
Okay. We're going to put it down now. That's the anal ease. I've given every gift now, and we're all set. So thank you very much. Bye.
You couldn't wait to end that fast.
I have a follow up.
What is that?
I normally don't talk about my sex life, but I will tell you. This is a trivia question.
Yes.
Two of the products were used this weekend.
Okay, I'll guess motion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And let me think about what else you got. Can you give me the list again?
The list was
Riding Crop,
edible panties, the Czar, the butt plug, nipple clamps, and anal ease.
No, it's the panties and the motion.
20 points for you. You know me very well. And just as a review, I'm not trying to, you know, I know we have those friends over at that store. What's that store?
That would be Night Dreams in Bethesda.
To each his own, but the edible panties, turbo gross.
Well, generally, I don't think that guys sit down with a knife and fork and eat them like a meal.
I ate them the way they were supposed to be eaten.
We maybe didn't select the best flavor when we went shopping.
What was the flavor?
Those.
I forgot what the flavor was.
Wasn't it pina colada?
It was pina colada, tropical punch, something like that.
Yeah, just in the emotion lotion.
It didn't have a copper taste to it.
No, it did not. Okay. No, absolutely not.
I don't mean to cast any aspersions.
But also the lotion,
right?
It was syrupy. It was heavy. It was heavy, and it was hot, though. Hot to the touch.
We didn't think any of the items would actually be used, so we selected the least popular flavors. There are many other more delicious flavors available.
Oh, fantastic.
More delicious.
Absolutely. Well, don't worry about us. We'll be fine. And I still haven't disposed of some of the more firm latex products, and I don't know what the hell to do. You know, I don't even want to put them in my trash.
Right, no, of course not. What's the odds that the garbage man, when he empties out, he goes, "Hey, you ever listen to the Don and Mike show? Look what I just found, that is garbage," and he pulls out the Czar.
Of course, it does have the suction cups. I can just, put it on the side of the car.
Or the slot machine.
Yeah. All right, well, you're a good sport. Your wife is a much better sport than you are, for
that. Yes, you're right about that.
She made that happen.
She did.
That would have been a totally dead tape. It was just you.
It was.
Just you going through whatever crisis you have about this.
All right, here. Okay, enough. Okay.
I fulfill my commitment. Thank you very much. 1, 2, 3. Test. Okay, that's it. Goodbye.
I will tell my wife that you appreciated her performance.
Right.
Performance.
Yeah. Quick break. We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike.
Full joke on Chuck Broyhill played out.
That was wonderful.
So we're going to try Leah Remini on her car phone.
Ah, busy lady. Now, are they taping this evening?
I don't think so.
All right.
So yesterday, we called her off the air. She said, call her at home.
Right.
And then I think somebody called her earlier today, and she said, no, she could be out. Call her on her car phone.
Mm-hmm. Your show was the season finale.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It was more.
Hey, Leah.
Yes, darling.
It's Don and Mike.
Hi, guys.
Oh, Leah. Hi.
What?
I have to say something to you now. Hi, this is the Don and Mike show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
No, why?
That's
our new rule.
That's new corporate bullcrap. Okay, let me play her in here.
My first guest just made me laugh my butt off the last time she was on. That's what happened to it. I had to have her back. She stars in the hit CBS show King of Queens. Please welcome Leah Remini.
Oh, that's not a good one. Let me play the Letterman one.
Our next guest is one of the stars of the popular television program The King of Queens. Monday nights at 8 right here on CBS. Here's the lovely Leah Remini.
That's the right one.
Bravo, Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Thank you. Hi, guys.
Listen, I have to tell you.
What's this? What? Oh.
I just have to tell you that Charlie Broyhill yesterday won 1,000,000%.
Oh, he took it hook, line, and sinker.
Believed that that email came from you. And then you sent him a letter telling him that you loved him.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, he did. He came in, and the reason he did, because the first thing he said, he has a look, and that's the only way you can really tell, because he's not going to say anything where you're going to be able to tell. But when he had this look on his face...
I'm not really talking to you right now, Charlie.
No, that was Mike.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm right here.
That was Mike talking.
You guys sound nasally today.
You sound a little, the phone sounds a little weird that you're talking
about. Oh, okay, because I'm in a studio right now.
Oh, you are in the studio.
Well, good, I'm glad I have you on the phone, Mike, because I'm not talking to you either.
Why aren't you talking to him?
Why?
Let's talk about your little visit to the King of Queens.
What? Okay, go ahead. Well, go ahead, I'm ready to take it. Go ahead, dish it out.
You walk out?
I didn't walk out.
You walked out?
No, I didn't walk out. I just had a couple of friends there, and we were done, and we were through, and I just...
Don't you lie to me, Don.
Yes.
Don,
darling,
he said that he was mad.
No, no. You're trying to play one against the other here, darling.
No, I'm not.
And that simply will not cut it. I told you he had friends. I told you he was not mad. I told you the next day when you wanted to call him up, and I said I didn't have a cell phone, but don't worry, he wasn't pissed.
I wasn't mad at all. I was happy to have been out there again. I wish, you know.
Didn't you guys talk about on the air how poorly you were treated on the show?
Yes, we did. Yes. But not by you
and not by Kevin. Just by that dick director of yours.
The director, you know, was a guy that just, you know, it was one of those deals where... Going into it, we felt like maybe we had overstayed the welcome the first time, but it has nothing
to do with you.
You have never made us feel anything but comfortable and feel wonderful about being out there. And Kevin, who is not, a close friend of ours, but is an acquaintance of ours, has done the same. And, in fact, Kevin was very nice to us when we were out there. I got a vibe.
Everybody else.
I'll say in particular, I got a vibe from that director. I got it the first time, and I got it even more so the second time we were out there. And he just seems like
he doesn't like us.
He doesn't like us.
You think so?
Yes, I know so.
He made it
and it's not anything that he said, it's not anything that he did, but it's just, you get a vibe from people. You know how that works.
So listen.
I know, but I felt bad that you were treated that way.
Well, and we know that.
Yeah, I mean, you really are the best thing about going out there, and we enjoy that.
And Leo,
how are you saying that, Mike? I didn't see you.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you were busy that day too.
Yeah, it's not like I.
You're right. I know, but at least you waited and hung out with me.
Well, you're right, and I apologize. I'm very, very sorry for not doing that. The guys that came out and visited me out there, it was kind of a last second thing, and they were there, and you know, we split, and I didn't want to bring them along and have them in a situation where, you know, where I was the one that was on the set and they weren't included, so I was kind of thinking about them too.
Wait, what was that? You said, you didn't want them to be in a situation where you were on the set and they were the outsiders, meaning that's what you were treated like?
No.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, except by you.
No, but
you know what? Also, the difference was. The main difference was when we were out there the first time. You did not have to be working as hard as you were working on that episode. In that episode, correct me if I'm wrong. You were literally in every scene, and you were busy. You were working, and it was one of those deals. So I mean, they had come out. I wasn't sure that I wanted to put them into a situation after the show where, hey, I'm coming along with my two friends, and so I
I thought it was probably best, you know, later on in the evening that, that
okay,
we split.
Okay, I'm bored. Now let's talk about the Charlie thing.
Thank
okay.
you, so am I.
Okay, let's talk about the Charlie thing.
Okay.
I want to tell you this.
I don't believe that Charlie honestly believed that.
Honey,
why did you let him off the hook?
All right, here's how we did it. Okay. We started the show, like I told you we were going to. We started the show yesterday, and I said, I got a very disturbing email from Leah. Okay. Remember that, the fake one that I read you?
Yeah.
And I read this letter that supposedly is from you, and it has your return AOL address.
And it was hysterical. It was really, I mean, that the writing and reading of the letter, the reading of the letter was the funniest part of the whole thing.
It was very beautifully written. It said, you know, right. Dear Don, you know, how dare you treat me like this? I let you stay in my...
Hold on. Just so you know, I'm on the phone live on the radio. Okay? Okay, let's talk in whispers.
Who's that?
Who is that?
The pain in the ass Karina asking me, why am I doing this now?
I didn't, you know what?
Again.
We didn't see Karina the last time we were there,
no, you didn't stay long enough. I saw Karina.
You did?
I saw Karina.
Oh, bummer.
I saw Karina. She's hot.
Well, say hi to Karina for me. Tell her I missed her and I wish I'd seen her.
She's hot. She's not slutty like Michelle.
Now you're going to... the room too.
Michelle's a big slut.
Okay. They said you're pretty and what?
A big slut.
No, Karina.
Oh no, Karina's wonderful.
She's a hottie.
They said you're wonderful and you're a hottie. Now do you feel like crap that you were just saying?
Interrupting my work.
You appreciate nothing.
All right, hold on. Let me just tell you this thing about Charlie.
Are you taping tonight? Are you filming tonight?
Thanks, guys.
They're over you, Karina.
Hey, Leah.
Yeah.
Are you filming tonight?
No.
Okay.
All right.
We're filming a commercial right now, and we have our rap party tonight.
Oh, right. Big party.
Yeah. All right, now finish with Charlie's story.
All right, so I read the letter that is supposedly from you to me that says, right. You know, I don't like you guys. Don't call me anymore. Don, I let you stay at my house, but I didn't even really want you to. Angelo was right about you guys all along. Charlie is my only true friend. So I read that, and Mike plays along.
Yeah, I'm playing along, and I'm going, wow, I cannot believe that it is over. This relationship that we have is over. And, you know, I'm doing the acting thing as Don's reading this, and meanwhile, knowing full well that Charlie Broyhill has this other email from you.
So then I read the part where I say, from you, it's the letter supposedly from you says, I have sent a separate note to Charlie. So I call Charlie in here and I go, hey, tell me about the email that Leah sent you. And see, this is where he was lying, because he said he hadn't opened his email yet.
We know he had.
We know that he had been walking around for 3 hours on Thursday thinking he had received an email from you telling him that you loved him.
Do you know we should bring Charlie in here, because we really haven't gotten to the bottom of that. We haven't said to him,
did you
in fact open it up early on, because I think he did. Let's find out.
But regardless, if he opened it early or if he opened it on the air, when he came in the studio,
I believed it, Leah.
He had a giant grin on his face, and the first thing he said when he came in is, he said,
you're not going to like it.
That's exactly what he said. You're not going
to
like this.
Let me ask you, because we didn't get to that yesterday. Did you, in fact, open it up earlier in the day, or did you?
I did not.
So the only moment you had seen it was when Don said it at the beginning of the show.
Correct.
Yesterday. All right.
And when he came in, he had a giant S-eating grin on his face. And he hadn't
had time to really read it and pick it through.
And digest it, but you believed it.
Cruel prank by three people who I thought were friends of mine.
But Leon, I'm telling you, honey, when he came in, he says, you're not going to like it. Big smile on his face. And I read it. I read it straight.
He believed that you were in love with him, Leah.
Charlie.
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of drugs are you on?
And now keep in mind, my favorite part, and I don't even have it in front of me, but I'll tell you my favorite part. Even though I'm in a committed relationship with Angelo.
That's the part I love.
I would be lying if I didn't admit I have feelings for you.
That was the part I loved the most.
You are a warm, thoughtful, and caring man.
Don't forget intoxicated.
Yes,
intoxicated.
The type of man who I believe I could love. Now, Leah, before you speak to him, I want to tell you something. I wrote this on Thursday morning. I call Frida in the room, and I say, come here, read this. Then I call Leah up.
Right.
And I read it to Leah over the telephone. And Leah says, there's no way Charlie is ever going to believe this.
Right.
No way he's going to believe.
We didn't know, and I knew as soon as he walked in, Charlie, I mean, I knew I looked at you, and I knew you would believe it.
I believed it.
That's right.
100%. He believed it 100%.
So now, Ms. Remini, please, you can speak to the subject of your love, Charles Broyhill.
Well, I think Charlie's lying.
Really?
And I think Charlie's playing games with you because...
No way.
Charlie... Mike?
Yes?
because Charlie called me this afternoon and goes, hey, honey, it's me. Listen, you have time to talk to these guys today?
Leah, he was standing right in front of me. I heard that call.
That was just...
No, that was the message I left. I called her later on her cell phone
at
private time.
Yes, and?
But, right, it was like, hey, Leah, it's Charlie. Do you have time to talk to you? Okay, well, we'll call you later, like any other conversation that we've had. So if he, in fact, did believe that crap, then he would be like, Leah, you know, you don't want to talk to Don and Mike? What, you know, what happened?
No, he already knew. When you talked to him today, he already knew it was a joke. We told him yesterday.
Oh, you told him yesterday.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, as soon as we read him the letter, and as soon as we discovered that he believed it, then we told him it was a scam.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie.
What?
How conceited are you?
I don't know.
I'm telling you.
If you honestly think that I would write you a letter saying I'm totally, like, this is weird because I'm in love with Angelo.
I read it once.
Not being with you. You're intoxicating. Charlie. I told you.
He went for it. Hook, line, and sinker, Leah.
Charlie.
All the way.
Are you lying, Shirley?
No, they're not lying either. I believed it. But like I said, I read it once. I had no chance to...
So now you're disclosing to me that you have a thing for me because I supposedly said in a letter I feel this connection with you like no other.
Yeah, I wrote that
as
too.
You do, like no as other. I'm sure you feel this.
Let me remind everyone here that we've got a young man's feelings at stake here. and Leah, I will tell you that, you know, he's very delicate right now. He really is. I think it's a delicate...
He's not delicate. If he was delicate, he wouldn't have believed it.
Oh, no, I...
Oh, okay.
This shows me how conceited Charlie really is.
All right.
No, I think it shows how delicate he is.
Yes, he's fragile.
Oh!
Yeah, I really do.
And I think...
If somebody sent me that letter, I'd go, get out of here. The person's screwing with me. I'm not going to... And I'd call them and go, you're playing around, right? You're playing around?
No, he believed it, honey.
And I think it really might show you just how deep his crush is for you, Leah.
Oh, yes.
Charlie, don't mock it. You thought
you were
intoxicated.
That's right. Don't mock it.
I won't.
I've
you
got
down to be on your high horse about, oh, yeah, right. Meanwhile, we're planning our wedding, Charlie.
You haven't seen the invitation?
Totally disrespecting Angelo?
Oh, and the other... Wait, hold on. That was another great part where I wrote, the only reason Angelo got upset when he heard your phone message is because Angelo knows
there's something between us.
He knows how Leah feels about Charlie.
Charlie, this is a difficult moment for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's a very difficult
time
for
you.
Oh, man. Oh, Leah, it was a great gag. It was a grand gag.
A grand gag.
I think it's the best one you've ever done.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140, KHDK, Sacramento.
One of life's great questions is...
Jethro is a powerful man.
Listen, Don, Mike,
yes.
I'd like to hear...
Don and Mike are back, live in studio tomorrow. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
I'd like to hear some of the tape that you were trashing the show and how he treated you.
Charlie, can you run that off?
If we still have it, that was not something to say.
It's nothing we wouldn't say to your face.
Wow, attitude on the Charlie all of a sudden.
No.
I just like it when
no
I'm off
attitude.
The hook.
Well, his heart is broken, Leah. Leah, it's nothing we wouldn't say to your face. And we said over and over again that we loved you and that we loved Kevin. And then you were so gracious to let me stay at your house and all.
We really did. I remember that vividly. And you know, it was... And that's the way it is. And that's the way it will always be. We really do... We know that because of you and because of Kevin, that's really the only reason we're out there in the first place. And probably a lot of people... You correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of people that are out there are... tolerating us when, in fact, you guys are welcoming us.
Well, you know, we felt like crap, and we were sitting there, and they put us in those chairs.
I think this was the breakdown, was that... They said they knew you were coming. I mean, somebody must have not told Rob that you guys are coming.
I got that impression.
Because the way he acted was like, yeah, just throw him anywhere.
Who is Rob? Is that the Pete Townsend
Rob
director?
Rob is the director that you love so much.
Pete Townsend, right.
Right.
The guy thinks he's a rock star. He really does.
Why does he think he's a rock star?
First of all, he looks like Pete Townsend of The Who.
The way he throws his arms around, and you know, when he was yelling at you guys, going, "Hey, I can't write and direct at the same time."
Right.
And I was he saying that to us?
It was actually, I can't give the sound effect or something like that. You were doing a run through, and it's like
he was yelling at Kevin. He was telling Kevin, "Remember when Kevin's supposed to trip going up the stairs?"
Right.
And he starts yelling at Kevin and telling Kevin, "No, do it like this."
Yeah.
He would never yell at Kevin. Are you kidding me?
He wasn't yelling at Kevin. He was yelling at everybody in general. He was kind of he was dancing and spinning around and in general not you know being very conspicuous.
He's an artiste.
Right. Yeah. And then you know there was one moment. And this might be a little too paranoid, but there's one moment when we were walking back from walking around the lot and you guys had broken for dinner and he was riding in a golf cart and we were walking down and we were facing him directly.
Right.
And you ever notice when someone intentionally, dramatically breaks off eye contact with you.
And there was no way he could avoid us because
we're right in the headlights of this, this golf cart.
Right.
And it was obvious. And it was just like they go driving by and there were, I think, three or four other people on this cart. All of them kind of nodded or said hi or whatever, or at least acknowledged that we were there. And he just
lost in thought.
That was the moment when I said that this is a little, there's something here. There's something here.
Right. Not a lot of love there.
I don't know. Maybe he felt like we were pushing him to have to do something.
I think that's and you know, if that's the case, that's totally understandable. We understood that. We really did.
But it's not really his call. I mean, Michael was excited that you guys were there. He knows how much you help us out. And
who's Michael?
You know? Michael Whitehorn is the executive producer.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, see, I mean, the thing is, and I think our whole deal, and what we talked about when we came back from there, was that if that was the feeling, if they felt like they were being forced, and not you guys, because you guys obviously are, you're doing your thing, you're the actors, you're working. Right. If the guys, the powers that be that are putting that thing together, if they felt like that, they should be upfront about it and let really spell it out instead of getting us into that situation.
Did you have to wash your sheets, honey, after I slept in the bed?
No.
Good, it's nice.
I didn't do anything bad.
We do. I mean, automatically they go to the dry cleaners. Oh. But no, I didn't have to do it because that you were there. Mm. But your smell was still in the bathroom, like your cologne.
Was it? Was
John
that?
Was here.
Was that intoxicating?
It was intoxicating.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, see, listen, like I told you all along, that's the difference between me and Charlie, honey.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, but I mean, I love you in that way, like I love you because you're a girl on TV. He loves you.
Okay. No, he doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, listen, Leo.
I think we were dealing with a boy with some hurt feelings today.
Yes, we were.
I really do.
And Leo, I have to tell you one other thing. You know who got the biggest laugh about this whole thing was Frida. Because you know that seriously, when my kid got me with this website, with the thing where you can send fake email, I said to Frida, I said, I got to play a gag on Mike. And she said, no, you play a gag on Mike every year.
Mm-hmm.
Frida said to me, why don't you play a gag on Charlie Broyhill?
Right.
And then I said, what about a letter from Leah? Mm-hmm. And then Frida's mind started spinning, and it was really Frida who said to me, write a letter from Leah telling Charlie that she loves him. So you can really partially blame my wife.
I believe that Charlie is screwing around with you guys, making believe that he believed it.
Honey, he's not that sophisticated.
And I really do.
And I'm going to tell you right now that all of you are ignoring one hard fact right here. Clear fact that I am the one who's truly in love with Leah because that's why I walked off the set. Not because of any other reason, that I simply couldn't spend quality time with her.
And I understand that it's troubling from your standpoint, Leah, that all of a sudden here's a guy who you thought was a friend, an acquaintance, and all of a sudden you realize that really he's a common stalker.
Who, Charlie?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, that he loves you. He desperately loves you.
Oh, sure.
And
no, he doesn't.
That boy cried himself to sleep last night.
You should have seen him. Leah, listen, for the last time, you should have seen him come in yesterday with this email. A big smile on his face. He says, you're not going to like it. And I read it on the air. And, you know, although you wouldn't know it from our appearances on King of Queens, I'm an excellent actor.
Mm-hmm.
I read it on the air as if I had never read it before, acted like I was horrified to be reading these statements.
Then why wouldn't couldn't Charlie have called me yesterday completely disturbed?
Because he didn't open it. He didn't open his email.
He didn't open it until we got on the air.
Which I believe. But I believe that.
But you don't believe that, Don. Now.
No, I don't really.
Okay. Now.
I think he was walking around all day thinking you were in love with him.
I think he's lying.
No, he doesn't do that. He really doesn't. I mean, he does that. He lies.
Why wouldn't he have called me yesterday and said, "Oh my God"?
Lack of social skills.
Why wouldn't you have? Listen. Why wouldn't he have called and said, "Why are you so mad at Don and Mike?
Lack of social skills.
Listen. Ball. Also, to be honest with you, when I called him and told him that I had received this supposed letter from you, he liked it. He liked the fact that I had gotten a letter from you that said that you were mad at us. As a matter of fact, before the show yesterday, I was having a meeting with him. We were talking about an article that had been written about us in a magazine. And he said, well, hey, did they write in that article that Angelo was right about you guys all along? I mean, he was getting off on the fact.
Absolutely.
He is playing with your mind.
Oh, right, because he's so sophisticated and he's so smart. Right.
Richard,
you got that
I'm telling
right.
you, he knew all along. I'm telling you. Get him to come in the room and swear to something that's so important.
All right,
important.
Charlie, come here.
Come here and swear to God that you believe the letter was true.
This is our last show before vacation. We can't have an hour-long conversation with Leah.
Charlie, come here. Come on, Charlie, you got to swear. You got to swear on something. What's something that means a lot to him? Swear on lunch.
Charlie, come here. Swear on your food you eat with your hands. Where is he at?
Well, we're trying to find him now.
He's probably crying.
What?
He's probably off crying.
Oh, would you stop it? Leah,
listen. This little boy walked around yesterday. Charlie, would you just swear to her that you believed it?
I swear I believed it.
Charlie,
but I
you're
swear
lying.
I don't feel that way. No, I'm not lying.
Charlie, you're completely lying. Why are you doing that?
Okay, here's the deal. I understand what Charlie just said, and you should hear this, Leah. What Charlie just said, he swears he believes it, but he also swears he doesn't feel that way to you.
He doesn't feel that way to me.
Right, but he is...
Oh, so now he's saying... So Charlie's saying basically he would have turned me down? I mean, what is he saying?
That's interesting. No, let's
you can't have it both ways, Leah.
Let's
damn right I can. What is he...
Charlie, what were you saying?
I'm saying that, yes, I believed the letter when I received it, but that is not how I feel. I am not in love with you.
Okay.
All right, have a secret thing for you.
Don't be a schmuck. Charlie, if you were playing hurt, then you would only be hurt because secretly you felt like that about me.
When was I hurt?
Don, Mike,
well,
did you not say he's so
yeah,
hurt?
They said yeah. I was hurt.
And maybe he wasn't.
I was not hurt.
But I do believe that he believed the letter.
I will tell you that.
I believe the letter. I read it once.
Right.
Thought,
You think that you're so captivating, Charlie, that I'm going to break up with you?
Yes,
he does.
Yes, the boy thinks...
Turn around and have the balls to say to me
that
you don't feel that way about me?
Listen, the boy considers himself quite a cocksmith.
Please, Charlie.
He truly does.
Please. See, we got to go, Charlie. You're off my list of people.
Oh, my God. Well, I am, too, so that's all right.
Iced tea and some sugar. Okay?
All right. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks,
you.
Charlie. Charlie is leaving the studio.
Charlie is being ugly.
He's leaving the studio
that's
now.
That's just the way it is.
That's life.
Wow.
That's
the way it is. All
right. And I understand what he was saying. He does not love you, but he certainly believed that you fell in love with him.
And you...
He is out of his mind. He is on drugs. What is wrong with him?
Well, I think we established the relationship now, and I think that's good. Don loves you as a TV star. Charlie is not in love with you, and I am.
Okay.
Even though I left early, I am. And it's finally out in public where everybody can hear it.
Wow.
All right.
This is really weird.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, now you know.
But, honey, it was a great, great gag. And we really did love playing that on him. All right.
Oh, I am speechless at Charlie's behavior right now.
And I'm speechless that you don't even acknowledge me when I say that.
Because you left.
That's it. I know. I'm totally.
You left.
I'm
that's
totally
why.
Off. I'm totally off the list now, aren't I?
No, Mike. I gotta say,
what?
I do love you.
Yeah. We're on vacation too. Yeah. Baby.
Wait, we'll talk to you when we get back from vacation.
Where are you going?
Going to the islands.
You are?
Yes.
Where are you guys going?
I'm going to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Well, have fun, guys. Call me when you get back.
Okay, we will.
Okay, love you.
Okay, love you. Goodbye.
Love you, too.
Bye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, man.
Interesting question.
Very, very, very interesting. Lots of information there, mm-hmm. Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who just exists on this show for us, for all of us.
That's right. Some more than others. a quick break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And then I got into my car and caught a glimpse of myself, and I almost had a heart attack.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
All right, Marisa. Radanti.
You got it, baby. How are you?
Well, we want to say hello. Marisa.
Let's give her a round of applause.
Thank you.
We love the Sopranos. We want you to know. Oh, listen, we have two guys slapping each other in the background. That's the sound you hear.
That's always good.
Yes, we're having a slap-off today. Two men have challenged each other.
We're better slapping each other the world as well.
There you go.
Now, I want to tell you a little bit about our love of the Sopranos. We are not the guys that read about it 2 weeks ago in Entertainment Weekly and said, oh, this is a hot show. We watched it since the first goddamn episode.
You give yourself, I'm going to give you props.
Show.
You watch it. You're the first one to watch it, and I'm giving you your props. And you turned us all on to it, and we've been watching it since the very beginning.
Love that show. Love
Isn't
the
it
fact.
Unbelievable?
Love the fact that you're a part of that show.
Oh, my God.
Now,
I'm cooking right now. I'm sorry about the noise.
Oh, what are you making? Right. What are you making?
I'm
for
making
dinner?
Salmon. I'm starving. I was running around all day, you know, being a little New York actress.
You're not making ziti?
I have ziti in the fridge.
Nothing ziti. Now, you play the wife of,
I play Christine Scatino.
Yes, and she's the wife of the guy who owns the sporting goods store.
Davey Scatino, who was, as you remember, on Terminator, the guy
right.
who turned into Mercury.
Okay,
right.
So his last name is Scatino. Is he supposed to be Italian
we
also?
Always, listen, everybody, me and Patrick, the actor, we got together and he's like, you know, I don't look Italian. What are we going to do?
Right.
I said, okay, we're going to make up a scenario. Like actors do this if there's something unanswered.
Okay.
And we figured his father's Italian, his mother is not.
Oh, cool. Okay, I like that, though.
Frankly,
cool.
I have a cousin, David Bonacci, who was blonde hair and blue-eyed from the beginning. There are a lot of blonde hair, blue-eyed Italians, but, you know,
in America, from northern Italy. Yeah, I went to school with a lot of blonde hair, blue-eyed Italians.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So it does exist, but we had to, like, make it good for ourselves.
Your role on The Sopranos, how featured are you going to be? Are you going to be one of Carm's regular friends?
Let me tell you something. To your lips, to God's ears, because nobody knows anything. They're gone. In other words, after January, they had put everything in the can. Everybody goes on their what they call hiatus, meaning
right.
they go on vacation.
Right.
They're not going to come back to write anything until probably July. I mean, I don't know if they start writing earlier than that.
What you mean is that this season is done.
Done. Been done.
This season has already been done.
Been
you guys,
way done, yeah.
You guys don't come back to work till July, so you don't know yet if you're going to be picked up for next year.
Well, the way I look at it from what I saw, and you guys saw the Sunday night thing.
Yes. Right.
I don't, I mean, I don't want to be conceited. I think I'll come back because there's too many things I'm involved with.
Hey, listen. Is Joe Penny really going to bone Carmella?
I'm looking at that big time. First of all, let's talk about Carmella shutting the door to say that the back of the door is wallpapered. Did she do that innocently?
No.
A little ploy.
Not at all.
To
no.
kiss him.
You know, so how many more episodes do we have? Four more episodes. And you guys are kind of like sworn to secrecy to reveal
Absolutely.
Anything.
Well, I don't know anyway. I'm done. I don't know. Now, they couldn't have done anything with my character or my husband's character. I definitely would have known that.
Okay, okay.
So it's possible that it's very possible that both of us, that storyline will come back. Because, you know, the first time I was on, which was the fifth episode, remember when my son, they had the truck, and my husband comes out and he's all upset, and he says, I'm going to take your truck away because
right.
you were off-roading, okay?
Right, right.
That was five episodes ago. That was episode number five. This is episode number nine. So that was four episodes. So it totally makes sense to me that it will take that long to, like, gel everything. Because it says, look, you got Pussy messing around with the FBI.
Right.
You got Carmella, you know,
Right, with Joe Penny.
The whole
right.
morality.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the shrink is back. We don't
you know, I would tell you one thing, Christine.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
I mean, Marissa, and then your character is Christine. I would tell you that, you know, even if your husband on the show
gets off,
you know, basically goes through with what he's been planning to do on the pool table.
Yeah, because he almost killed himself until you came downstairs this week.
Still no reason why you wouldn't be lingering, you know,
exactly.
on the show. That could happen, too, I would imagine.
Because remember, my brother took off on the little rendezvous thing, and I would say, I mean, I do not know. But what I'm saying is that it seems to me that Carmella would want to know, where's your brother?
Right.
Well, let me ask you a personal question about someone on the
cast. Our kids go to school together.
Right.
Okay.
Didn't your son break up with Meadow?
They weren't, I don't know that they were boyfriend and girlfriend. They were good friends, but he was pissed.
Yeah, I know. I remember that scene.
What's the chance that Meadow's ass is just going to explode on an upcoming episode?
What do you mean, Ryan?
What I mean is that
it just seems like she's gotten a little larger since the show began.
AJ has gotten smaller.
I've got to tell you the truth. I don't know. I don't know.
Because we, you know, we're fat guys, and so, you know,
Oh, are you?
Yes. You know, we talk about,
you
know.
You go for the chicklin. And you go for the pasta, the pizza, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely.
Picture AJ grown up. And that's not funny.
First of all, he is the sweetest kid in the world. Secondly, he is a huge trivia fan of Friends. He knows the apartment numbers of all the Friends characters.
He's a good kid. I like him on that show.
He is such a normal kid. Everybody's normal, all right? Can I tell you something? Everybody on the show, tell me if I'm getting too noisy in the kitchen.
No.
Everybody on the show is so a real actor. Now, I mean that by, I was out in L.A. for 6 years. I was in New York. You know, I love New York. New York is it. These guys work like you work. It's your job. You really take it seriously. You don't get all egoed out. I don't know. Maybe you guys are.
Oh, no, we do. Yeah, we're totally egoed out.
Yeah, you're not like giving my trailer and all that. They're not like that.
Oh, yes, we are.
We have trailers outside the studio, actually. Yeah. It's nowhere to be.
What is Paulie Walnuts like?
Oh, my God.
He's my favorite.
He is so funny. I don't know him well because I've only been in readings with him.
Right.
But he looks exactly like he does on screen in the readings.
We always heard, and there's so many rumors now that float around a show like The Sopranos. I always heard that Paulie Walnuts was a real guy, was a real main guy.
Who knows?
You don't know.
I've never seen him in any other movies, but Vinny Pastore, who plays Pussy, he's been in a lot of movies.
Oh, absolutely.
He's great.
God, I was hoping that Christopher would die. I really would. I hate Christopher.
You did not. Why do you hate Christopher?
Don doesn't like Christopher.
I've never liked Christopher.
Why?
We had a bet that, you know, where I said Christopher would live.
What? Let me ask you a question, and I've already paid off this bet, but let me ask you, being a cast member of The Sopranos.
Right.
On the episode
I'm a recurring. I don't want HBO to think that I'm staying. I'm like the new, you know.
That's me saying that, not you.
You have a recurring role. That's very nice of you to say that. You don't have an ego. That's good.
The night that Christopher got shot, immediately when the show was over, I call Mike, my buddy, and I say, hey.
Oh, Imperioli?
No, Mike O'Mara, the guy I do the show with.
Right over here. Right here, Marissa.
And I say, hey, Christopher's dead. And he says, there's no way Christopher's dead. And I said, I'll bet you $100 Christopher's dead.
And that way, you know, that spilled onto the air where we were talking about it, where I said, no, they're not going to write him out of the show. He's gonna remain alive. And then, you know, the next episode came
right.
on.
Technically.
He did die. You were right. You had it. You know what you had? You had an epiphany.
An epiphany, yes.
Yeah.
It's a shame that I've already spent that money.
I know,
and you're not getting it back.
If I knew anything about the show, or if I was like the kind of person that would tell anything, I could make so much I could make so much money.
Sure, it's goddamn money, right?
I could make so much money because somebody called me, a friend, and he goes, I heard Christopher's gonna die. I'm like, well, I don't know if he is or not, and if I did know, I wouldn't tell you because it's not fair.
Do you have to sign anything? Do you have to sign anything that says you're not gonna
sign anything? But they make it, you know, they ask you, and it's
can they make it clear?
Yeah, but that's cool.
Do they make it clear, like, you know,
listen, if you say anything, I swear to God, we're going to come to your house, we're going to take all your salmon, and we're going to bury you in it.
No, but everybody's so into the show that they wouldn't. They wouldn't screw it up for the public.
Now, listen, when your cousin...
It's fun if you don't... You know, people that know that I'm on the show have asked me, like didn't see the whole show, and I said, well, didn't you see... They said, don't tell me. You know, they don't even want to. They want to see it all. It's great. It is such a great thing.
I would like to know.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell you because I don't know anything else than what I did.
Your cousin calls us yesterday from Rochester.
Oh,
and he says,
I know, and you didn't believe under my.
No, of course not. He says, "Hey, my cousin is the wife of the guy with the sporting goods store."
No,
and we said, "No, no." How well do you know this cousin of yours?
Not well.
Not well.
Well, you were were very nice to come on the show, though, after he did
me?
That.
But
yes.
I know one thing about him. He's an artist. Mm-hmm. He has a band called Tripping Billies.
Oh,
he's going to be at the Lion's Den in Manhattan.
Oh, you see, she's
throwing... April 14th on Sullivan Street.
She's taking care of her cousin.
Honey, I'm on The Sopranos. You take care of your own.
There you go.
Right, I got
and
you.
This is a good kid. Listen, anybody that's an artist, that's a musician, and my other nephew's a musician, too, Joe Harmon. Are you kidding? Do you know when I went through all my... You don't even want to know. I can't even start.
No.
It's tough, you know? You got to... you help anybody you can help.
Honey, listen, we're going to be coming to New York to do our show a couple of days a week.
Oh,
we'd love to have you come down to our studio one day.
Listen, I'll tell you something.
Just spend a whole day with you.
You can let people call in because I love to talk to weirdo people.
Ah, okay. Well, you picked the right show. That's great.
You really get weirdo people?
No, we get weirdo people all the time, Marissa. We really do. We have a wonderful time on this show.
Funny, we have two guys that have been slapping themselves now for how long, Rob?
Do they slap their faces?
Guys, say hi to Marissa.
Hi, Marissa.
They seriously have been slapping each other now for 40 minutes and 22 seconds. We're just having a contest.
You're kidding.
Yeah, just to see who can last the longest.
Buzz, our news guy. Let me ask our news guy right now. Would you be able to estimate how many blows these gentlemen have exchanged to their face?
I'm doing the math right now.
Okay.
I think you should have their ex-girlfriend slap them.
Buzz, in 40 minutes, how many slaps have these guys made?
Between the two of them, over 5,600 slaps.
Wow!
I wonder if it's good for your complexion. You know, the blood rushes to the face.
You know, face cheese.
Yeah, it's like you have a camera in here. You should see this one guy. All the blood is in his face.
Well,
right
listen,
now.
Honey, you are great on The Sopranos, and I want to thank you for calling.
Thank you for seeing the show and thinking I was good enough for you to call. That's sweet.
Kidding? You're wonderful. And we'll watch for you in the coming weeks.
You will.
Yes, we will.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, honey.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Hi, Joe. Hi, Ben. Hi, Sandy. Hi, Mark.
Marissa Redanti, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Thank you, Marissa.
Ciao, Ben.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
Bye. Ciao. I guess she doesn't get interviewed in class.
Wow, she can talk. Hey, I guess you got to be able to talk to be an actor.
I guess so.
Well, I mean, I've heard some actors interview where it's like, yes, no, yes, no. But that was very nice of her to call it.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You just wiggle your finger. That's wonderful.
Today's episode that you're having another colonic episode,
mm-hmm.
having some colon problem.
And incidentally, the went to the doctor. You know, he gave me little pills to take for my and bingo.
Oh, good.
Yeah, 100%. Doing great. But that will not keep me out of the procedure that I have to go through. Actually, the day of our Las Vegas style show,
the colonoscopy on Feb 2nd.
Yeah, I think it's the same day.
Oh, good.
So you know, if I show up at the Las Vegas style show with one of those little hoses sticking out of me, you'll know that I was running late.
We got a letter from a medical student who goes to a medical school in the state of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be U of M, might be University of Massachusetts.
Okay.
They have a good medical school?
I think they do. I know that there are, there's tons of colleges up there.
Guy sent a letter from a medical journal about stools. They have an entire chapter in this medical book.
We're not talking about bar stools here either.
About feces and stools. Let me see. They have quotes.
Yeah.
This article is so funny.
Quotes from the stools themselves?
No, quotes from people talking about stools. But it's so funny because they're taking a funny subject and having a serious discussion about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Right? For certain doctors, stools are serious business.
For instance, New York City doctor Donovan Spears says, quote, "Stools don't have to be well-formed logs."
Oh, they don't.
They can disperse in the toilet water. They can break down. Some medical experts argue that stools should float. Others believe that healthy bowel movements should touch bottom because of the bulk and fiber content.
Interesting. I didn't know that there was all of this differing opinion.
Controversy. Most stools will stink. As Dr. Frank Loftness, who doesn't buy either argument. Whether it floats or sinks really doesn't seem to make any difference.
I agree.
Most stools stink. This isn't a medical book. You mean
most stools stink? I mean, who did the research to figure that out?
You got a slave your whole life to send your kid to medical school so your kid can go to medical school and read in a book that some guy's BM stinks?
What they do, farm that research out to the first year med students?
All right, let me see. One of the most common complaints is, hard feces.
Yes.
Infrequent, difficult elimination.
Yes, yes, yes.
Better known as constipation. Chronic constipation may contribute to autoimmune diseases and colon or breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Then they go through a whole thing about how women have an increased chance of breast cancer if they have constipation.
Really?
Wow. Didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Then they got a thing about diabetes, the kidney, the digestive diseases.
Serious stuff. I bet mine's in there. I bet Buzz and mine is in there, the digestive disease.
Yeah, sure. Diverticulitis has a whole paragraph.
Yeah, of course it does.
But then...
I only stop on that because it almost killed this man.
Mm-hmm. But you get to all the medical stuff, and then they have a chart. They have a chart. The stool chart.
Ah, the stool chart. Do you think we could blow it up to poster size?
And they have signs, and apparently if you see these traits in your stool, this is your key to if you're having a healthy BM or not.
Okay.
Ah. Okay.
Good.
Oh, did anybody watch Everybody Loves Raymond on Monday night?
Yes.
Did Raymond call his wife a BM at some point in that show?
I don't think so. You're a BM.
I think he did.
Stay out of here, you BM. Come on.
Well, they were having an argument about the kid, and he walked out of the room.
Oh, you know what? He did. I remember it now. He did call her that.
He called
her
a BM.
And I was surprised. Yeah.
That's right.
You're a BM.
He called her a BM.
You're a big BM. You're a nice BM.
That's right. I know that our parents...
Yes.
My parents, your parents,
yes,
say the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a nice BM?
Did you have a nice BM? Or how are your BMs? BMs were used in the 60s, 50s and 60s. I think BMs were the popular word to use, you know? That was a medical term as far as mommies were concerned.
Where's Dad? Dad's taking a BM.
He's having a BM. How are his BMs, doctor? You know? We'll watch. Is there anything? No, I don't. I don't notice anything unusual with his BMs. Did you have a nice BM? Do you need to make a BM?
When's the last time you had a BM?
When's the last time you had a BM? That. Do you think probably that sentence used more than?
That's the number one sentence.
When was the last time you had a BM?
I don't know, Mom. You know, would you like to say to her? When's the last time you had a BM, Mom?
I think you need to say if you have a nice BM, and it's have. Have a nice BM. Not take. That was evil. That was bad. Because take was moving dangerously close to using another word for the BM.
Yeah, you had to be have. Did you have a nice BM?
Yeah.
Have you had a BM today yet?
Yeah. I think I probably would have gotten in trouble even if I said I have to take a BM. If that was the case,
It's like I have to take an S.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Of course, G. Gore Liddy would say, did you have a nice BAM?
BAM.
A BAM.
BAM Ray, thank you.
BAM Ray.
Okay, here we go.
All about BMs.
Good. Very good. This is going to be one of those segments on the program that could be considered educational.
Mm-hmm. This is from a medical digest. If your stools are black, tarry, or sticky, how would you know if they're sticky?
You look.
Oh, come on. How do you know something's sticky unless you touch?
By looking at the paper.
Black, tarry, and sticky. I don't look at the paper, Mike.
You were asking, and I was telling. I was not trying to revisit that subject, and I don't care to.
Black, tarry, sticky.
It's bad.
That is bleeding in your upper digestive tract.
Mm-hmm.
The black color comes from digested blood cells.
Yeah. Right.
Now, let's say that you have very dark brown stools,
mm-hmm.
BMs. That could mean that you ingested red wine the night prior, or that your diet has too much salt or not enough vegetables.
Okay.
If your stool is glowing red or magenta...
That was the one that really surprised me yesterday.
Then you've simply eaten beets or other reddish foods.
Okay.
Hey, where's that tape we have of Oprah talking about her BM?
That's right.
We have a tape of Oprah talking about how she had red BMs and
she's talking about her urine.
Oh, right, her urine.
Yeah, it
was. I know we still have got that, Robbie, and it's right over in that rack somewhere. She's talking about that she was mentioning to Stedman that she had bad pee.
And she was freaking out about it, and then she found out from the doctor that it was beets.
I can only imagine Oprah's BMs.
Oh, my.
Stedman is a lucky man.
Mm.
That Oprah. I bet she has nice BMs two or three times a day.
Oh, absolutely.
Now that she's big again.
I had this big scare this summer. I had, like, because I kept, you know, everybody urinates, so that's not, like, a big deal.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, you are. And so, like, my urine was turning orange and then was getting oranger and then redder and redder. And so, like, I called Seven and I said, God, I don't know how to break it to you, but something's really bad, really awful, wrong with me. And so then I went to the doctor, and you know what it was?
Licorice.
Beets. I've been eating too many beets at the salad bar.
Can do it.
Because it got redder and redder and redder, so I thought, I am really sick. But it was just beets.
Beets, just beets.
And if the urine was red, imagine BMs.
She called Stedman in there to check it out.
Sure. Stedman, look at my BM.
Yes, dear.
Like, he doesn't have to every day anyway. Like, that's not part of his job.
Wipers! Stedman!
Oh, honey. That is such a beautiful BM. May I have that one, honey?
Yeah.
Oh, bro, I love that BM.
Add it to his collection.
I do love that.
Can I keep that one?
Of course, Stedman.
That's especially nice. You had corn last night.
Oh, God.
Love you. I love you, honey. Nice BM.
And then he goes to work. Keeps it in his briefcase.
If your BM is light green, mm-hmm, you're consuming too much sugar, or you're having too many fruits and vegetables with not enough grains or salt.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever had a light green.
Now, Buzz, I've never really thought about your BMs.
Right.
But if I was to categorize yours, I would say that yours are probably pale or clay-colored. I don't know why, just because you're an old dude.
Well, I don't think that they are. But thanks for the compliment.
If your stools are pale or clay-colored,
uh-huh, never seen that.
That means you're having minimal amounts of bile excreted, perhaps because of gallbladder or liver problems.
No.
Don't wish that on you, Buzz.
No, I don't have that.
If I was going to pick a color, that would be the color.
Rest easy, my friend. Pick a color, any color.
If your BMs are bloody or mucus-colored,
mm-hmm,
covered, that could mean... Are you actually taking notes on this, Bill?
I am. I think this is fascinating.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Buzz and I have both had digestive problems. We take this serious.
I'm hanging this chart in the bathroom.
Bloody or mucus covered means hemorrhoids,
mm-hmm,
an overgrowth of certain bacteria in your gastrointestinal
tract, right,
colitis, Crohn's disease, or colon cancer. Red blood usually means the ailment is located near the end of your digestive tract. Seek medical advice immediately,
mm-hmm,
if you have blood or mucus.
Yeah, they don't mess around with that.
If your BMs are pencil thin and ribbon-like, a polyp or growth in your colon may be narrowing the passage. If your BMs are large and... This is the Rob Spiewak BM, I believe.
Okay.
If they are large and floating with greasy film on toilet water...
Oh, gross.
That means your digestive system isn't getting the full nutritional use of food.
Either that or you're eating those chips with that Olean stuff in them.
Yeah, the Olestra.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one I would describe as my own.
All right.
Loose and watery.
Oh, dear.
Sometimes with undigested foodstuffs.
Oh, God.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I know.
That a possible cause of diarrhea, food poisoning, don't think so. Lactose intolerance, I'm not. Antibiotics. Oh, I had taken some for my finger.
That'll do it.
Dietary changes.
Constantly.
Travel, anxiety. Yes. Stress. Yes. Yes.
There it is.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, you never know.
Hello.
Hello.
Let me see. And this one I would describe as the Jeremy Coleman BM.
Okay.
Small, hard, round pellets.
Yes, what does that mean?
Constipation.
Right, it's me.
Even if you defecate frequently.
Yes.
Possible causes, too much dry food, including protein, not enough vegetables.
Yeah, it's me.
Laxative abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Worries.
I don't abuse laxative. I said, uh-huh, knowingly, like I do that, and I want to go on the record and say I don't.
Also, irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, my God.
Alternating bouts of diarrhea and constipation. Again, irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
This chronic condition can be aggravated by red meat, spices, sugar, alcohol, lack of fiber, allergy-causing foods, irregular hours, and chaotic relationships.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God! And,
help me, please!
And listen, they actually identify this. If your BM, and this is what it says in the medical journal.
Your BM.
Smells really bad.
And who's had a sweet-smelling BM?
Well, but, I mean, there are individuals, I think, that have to pay attention. And I don't know if Eric Bickle is on his way do the Sports Junkie show right now, but if he's listening, pay attention.
If your BM smells really bad, you have an imbalance of intestinal bacteria, or you're eating too much animal protein, which can putrefy in your digestive tract.
Really?
Really. That is the most fascinating segment. And, you know, I have a few categories on there. I have a few categories.
I would be, I meant that. I'm the loose and watery.
Now, I'm surprised that...
Sometimes with undigested food stuff.
I'm surprised at Mike's constipation because you drink a lot of water. And that's one of the best ways to prevent constipation. I don't understand how that can even happen with as much water as you drink.
Well, I mean, it only happens once in a while. And it happens based on the fact that it happens... You know when it happens? It happens on this protein diet. It happens more on the protein. And they say that in the book. Mm. If you're eating too much protein. And that's... When you eat too much protein... You don't have this problem, but most people do. That's why they write about it in these diet books. If you eat too much protein, it kind of affects you that way.
Oh, not me. I crap every morning, man. I mean, when I come out, I turn a water faucet on. I swear to God. Of course, I get up in the morning and I drink 2 liters of water.
Yes. Do it.
First thing. I mean, before I even take a crap in the morning, I drink 2 liters of water.
But even with the water, you're not supposed to... The kind you have are not the kind you're supposed to have.
I know.
What are the... You know the one thing they didn't put down there?
They didn't put the perfect BM.
What's the perfect one? Is it the round that's with no more order than a hot biscuit?
I guess you started out by saying that doctors don't agree, you know, whether it should float or not. And
yeah, let me see what the article ends up saying.
It
here.
Should float, and then when you flush, it should completely disintegrate.
Let me see.
Fluffy.
The rest of the article is just ways to improve your digestive system and to keep your BMs healthy.
Keep this around. Don't throw this away.
Okay, Buzz.
I'll tell you the best BMs I ever had is when I was eating oatmeal every day.
Yeah.
But oatmeal has a lot of carbs, so I backed off of that.
And then the same guy sent us something that was going around his medical class. Now, this is not from a medical journal.
Okay.
These are a bunch of the doctors, or would-be doctors, the residents.
Right.
Came up with, since they're all involved in the butt and in poop and your digestive system, they came up with all the different definitions for different kinds of poops.
Okay.
For instance, if you are in a bathroom, a crack whore.
Mm-hmm.
A crack whore is actually not a BM, but a toilet. A toilet that has seen more ass than a Greyhound bus. Telltale signs of a crack whore include...
Oh, God.
Pubes. pee stains.
Oh, yeah.
And S streaks.
Oh, God.
Avoid a crack whore at all costs.
I couldn't agree with that more.
Let me see. An escapee. An escapee is a large fart that slips out while taking a leak at the urinal. This is usually accompanied by a sudden wave of panic / embarrassment.
Yes.
This is similar to the hot flash you receive when passing an unseen police car and speeding.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
If you release an escapee, do not acknowledge it. Pretend it did not happen.
That's somebody else.
Making a joke or laughing makes both parties feel uneasy.
Boy, that was loud.
All right, then you have a flyby. This is the act of scouting out a bathroom before taking a BM.
Okay.
Walk in. Check for other BMers.
Right.
If there are others in the bathroom, leave and come back again. Be careful not to become a frequent flyer. And then the next one on the list, a frequent flyer, is a person who continually walks in and out of the bathroom too frequently in search of a clear BM opportunity. What is a Havana omelet?
Oh, no.
It sounds bad.
That is a load of diarrhea that creates a series of loud splashes in the toilet water, often accompanied by an escapee.
Yeah, we have tape of that.
If you have a Havana outlet,
right,
you are urged to try an Astaire. In Fred Astaire.
Okay, if you have a Havana omelet, you're urged to try an Astaire.
An Astaire is a subtle toe tap that is used to alert potential turd burglars that you are occupying a stall. This will remove all doubt that your stall is occupied.
So, in other words, you're trying to avoid somebody coming and rattling the door.
While you're having your Havana omelet.
I hate that.
There's a jailbreak, which is used in conjunction with the escapee. When forcing a BM, several farts slip out at a machine gun pace. This is usually a side effect of diarrhea or a hangover, like too much beer. If this should happen, do not panic. Remain in the stall until everyone's left the bathroom in order to spare everyone the awkwardness
sure.
of the jailbreak.
Of course.
Out of the closet, BMer.
Mm-hmm.
A colleague who BMs at work and is darn proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
You will often see an out-of-the-closet BMer enter the bathroom with a newspaper or magazine under their arm.
Hi.
Always look around the office for the out-of-the-closet BMer before entering the bathroom. There's the PFN, the Pooping Friends Network, a group of coworkers who band together to ensure emergency pooping goes off without incident. This group can help you to monitor the whereabouts of the out-of-the-closet BMers and identify safe havens.
Sure.
A safe haven is a seldom-used bathroom somewhere in the building where you can least expect visitors.
Oh, that's great. I wish we had one here. We don't.
Try floors that are predominantly of the opposite sex. This will reduce the odds of a pooper of your sex entering the bathroom.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to work in a really big building.
All right, a turd burglar. This is a BMer who does not realize you are in the stall and tries to force the door open.
Oh, it's horrible.
This is one of the most shocking and vulnerable moments that occur when taking a BM at work.
All they have to do is bend from the waist and look for feet.
Right. If this occurs, remain in the stall until the turd burglar leaves.
Mm-hmm.
This way you avoid all eye contact.
That is so true.
An Uncle Ted.
Oh, God.
This is a bathroom user who seems to linger around forever. Could spend extended length of time in front of the mirror or sitting on the bowl.
It's absurd. We've got several of these guys here at our place.
An Uncle Ted makes it difficult to relax while on the crapper, as you should always wait to drop your BM when the bathroom is empty.
I agree.
The walk of shame. Walking from the stall to the sink to the door after you've just stunk up the bathroom. This can be an uncomfortable moment if someone walks in and busts you. As with all farts, it is best to pretend that the smell does not exist. It can be avoided with the use of the common courtesy flush. And then finally you
now,
have...
That's important, though, to point out. It's for everybody here. I want them... The courtesy flush.
Well, you know, I didn't even read that. That is so elementary. The courtesy flush
is
the act of
important.
Flushing the toilet the instant the nose cone of the BM log hits the water and the BM is whisked away to an undisclosed location.
Absolutely, it's a courtesy flush.
This reduces the amount of air time the BM has to stink up the bathroom. This
it is
can avoid
used.
You help you being caught in the walk of shame.
I just think it's important for you to read that because it is not used around here. Most people do not do the courtesy flush and they know who they are and I think they should start thinking about it.
And then there's one more, the watermelon. This is a BM that causes a loud splash when hitting the toilet water. This is also an embarrassing incident. If you feel a watermelon coming on, create a diversion. See, camel cough. And then that's the last item, camel cough.
Camel cough?
This is a phony cough, a camouflage cough.
Sure.
Which alerts all new entrants to the bathroom that you are indeed in the stall. This can be used to cover up a watermelon or to alert potential turd burglars. Very effective when the camel cough is used in conjunction with a stare when you are facing a Havana and that all comes from the University of Massachusetts.
Oh, bravo.
So
they knocked on themselves, and they certainly they understand everything. They really do.
A really good segment they did.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike.